Tonight's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games.
Thank God it's Friday!
The story is true.
Heavy Meta. Heavy Meta.
You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday? You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday?
Following cat.
Who the fuck?
Who do you think it is, motherfuckers?
It's Heavy Meta, Maddie Studios. What you guys doing here? You're not supposed to be here no more. We took over. This is our show now.
I'm sorry. I've been drinking too much while you guys were talking.
Yeah. I'm going to be hardlining Kraken, and that's all I'm going to be doing the whole time. I don't give a fuck. So come on out. See me naked.
My wife is... What? Doctor, I have access to all the hypodermic needles that I need.
Hypodermic needles?
Hypodermic.
Wait.
I want access to hypodermic needles. That's what I want.
He's like literally like he can't deal with like two of me.
I start walking at home and I said, "Fuck you, San Diego."
What the fuck are they gonna put a baby seal with a club in its head?
You can't invite a nigga to the door without, you know, making it true. And I'm going to say niggas a lot, too, because you guys cuss and talk about dicks and shit.
Totally okay with it.
Welcome to Heavy Meta.
But then there's other times where we're just rambling drunk the whole episode, and somehow we still come out with a fucking podcast every week.
He went to turn around and slipped in the puddle, and he fell on the side of the urinal.
There are rules to a devil's treat, and I still, that, like, I don't know, that shit just...
He turns around, I guess I gotta go make me some bagels.
The summer of a movie?
What the fuck? That sounded
like some random ass person. The summer of a movie!
Look, guys, I knew I was coming into what would be like the Lord of the Rings style of podcast. I've got a liter of water next to me. We just cracked a 20-ounce Red Bull, and my wife has made amazing burritos for me to chomp down on the next 3 hours. As I came home today for 5 minutes to tell her, "Hey, I'm doing this podcast. I'll talk to you in about 3 hours." And
she gave me I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, my little minions? I'm Kevin Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
Gumby doesn't give a shit.
Gumby's like, I'm still staring at my foil Ugin. I'm sorry. It's so pretty.
And I'm Kristen Gregson, and tonight on Heavy Meta, we talk Fate Reforged in Standard after release weekend. We talk about the breakout cards that we saw that may be affecting your wallet. We talk about what Mark Rosewater would change if he could go back and change Magic. We talk about Lee Sharp's new job at Magic Online and what does that mean for things not being as shitty as they are now. We'll talk about the A-Team throwing down the gauntlet, saying we are terrible Magic players. David has an update for us on charity events and Vegas. We'll go deep in the Twitter hole. We might even have some token updates. But before, since I can hear packs being cracked in the background, I have to ask, did anyone out there
just open another Ugin?
Fuck you, David. Jesus, fuck you. Christ. Three fucking Ugins? This is bullshit.
I'm up to 5 Ugins right now.
What the fuck?
That's... Like, I've opened, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
six, seven, 8 packs, and I've got an Ugin, a Foil Ugin, a Soulfire Grandmaster, a Whisperwood Elemental, a Flooded Strand, and a Tazziger.
How the fuck
you... Oh, wait. No, it was an extra pack, and that was a Flamewake Phoenix.
I hope every other pack is a piece of shit. That's
impossible. Wow, whoa.
Love. That's how we're starting the show this week. Love.
Okay, in all honesty, I hope every pack is a mythic, because that you're already well above the curve for cracking mythic packs. I believe it was 1 in 6 packs you crack a mythic? Was the math? 1 in 8? Wow, you're well above the curve then, my son.
Oh yeah.
So I was just scrolling through Twitter.
Boxes doesn't fucking matter.
I was scrolling through Twitter to see your picture that you posted, that you said you posted, and I kept missing it because I just kept fucking scrolling past this fucking picture of Hearthstone. What the fuck? And then I was like, oh, wait, Raging Gumby. Well, I'll just go to his Twitter feed. Or I'll just go to his Twitter page, because apparently I'm not seeing it. And then I clicked on that, and I was like, oh, there's the Ugin. I just kept skipping it because it looked like Hearthstone, and I didn't give a shit.
I love the subtle messaging right there. That was, he's like, is Foil Ugin better than Hearthstone? You tell me.
It's did anyone play any Fae Reforged last week?
I did.
At the pre-release.
I played some Fate Reforged cards in my burn deck, but that's about it.
That's fine. I had a bit of pre-release hangover because I went and actually made it to the draft at FNM. Now, I had quite the journey, because normally if I'm going to FNM, I'll go the 15 minutes, go to downtown Oakland and hit up Endgame in Oakland, if you've never heard of it. It is a delightful store itself, although it is in... what I like to call Crime Oakland. Central, whereas, yeah, if I like to park my car with a different color broken glass on either side of it, I've had that happen.
I don't even know what that means. Like, how do you park your car with broken...
Multiple cars have been broken into. Oh. You're the same, no one has swept the street since then scenario.
Shit, man. You're not supposed to drive your car next to broken glass. That's how you get a flat tire. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, if I get a flat tire, that's the least of my problems. I would consider it.
Yeah, it's in Oakland. Hey, man, that's a good day. That's a good day.
Yeah, so as much as I love that store, I don't want to talk down to it. Once you're inside the nerd love confines, it's one of the safest places to be. But you know, riots.
I feel like you should get like a fucking angry pit bull, and just keep it in your car.
Yes, and call him QB.
QB,
QB the pit bull.
Thankfully, we're never stupid enough to leave that in the car.
Good boy.
I would hate to have to try to cover that in my auto insurance. I don't think that I'd have to go to my renter's policy.
Wait! Your car's worth how much? And this cube thing you speak of. That was in your car was worth how much?
We'll pay for you the front department. One moment.
Yeah.
It was sitting right next to my brick of heroin. So
that also like to be compensated for. So to go back to my story. Normally I would FNM there, but I had an old friend coming into town back where I used to live in Santa Cruz, so I drove the hour and a half to go to Friday Night Magic out there for draft. And I kind of made the mistake of forgetting, and this is such a rookie mistake, that you only get one goddamn pack of Fate Reforged, and you don't get more than the one pack during the draft. So like, I open Whispered Elemental. Yeah, that's lovely. That's great. And then I somehow end up with like the double Humble Defector, double Collateral Damage package.
Oh, nice.
In the first round of draft, I'm thinking like, oh, this I got a full-blown plan going. This is going to be my deck. And then... there were no more cons cards, there were only cons cards after that, and it was a bit of a letdown. But don't do that, kids, if you happen to make that mistake. It's still mostly cons. There's very little manifesting happening. I was expecting, again, coming off the pre-release, where things were being manifested all over the place, you keep thinking like, oh, fuck, I gotta finally use those stupid-ass tokens to tell the difference between my morphs and my manifests. But despite the fact there were like 3 pods going and I was, you know, kind of birding a lot of the games, very rarely was it like, well, this one's the morph and that one's the manifest and this is a token because I'm stupid and still use the backs of cards and that kind of thing. So that's my Friday Night Magic story. That and we went to the bar.
Yeah, I didn't have an issue either with the – even when we were at the pre-release, there was a lot of manifest. And
I think the pre-release, you almost went the opposite direction where it was like almost only manifest.
There was a bit of both. There was a bit of both in a lot of the games I saw, so it wasn't too bad.
No one had the hiccups?
No, I think everyone was pretty prepared. I even know, like, you know, Face had extra stacks of the tokens out just in case. So, like, I didn't see any shenanigans. I think it was all right. I think it was all right, sir.
So, all right, no one else played Magic. David's just cracking packs just because he's...
I played Magic. I said I did. Fuck you.
I didn't hear... Other people yelled louder. That's why I didn't hear you.
Louder than me? That's impossible.
Let's not a game.
I highly doubt. Let's not play that game.
I could blow your speakers out.
They're poor speakers.
No, I played Standard, although I did not have too many of the new cards in my deck, I have been... I've renewed my love with Naya tokens, and it was strong.
And?
Well, the only card from Fate Reforged in Naya tokens that I've updated, I took out a Wingmate Rock, and I took out a Dictate of Heliod for 2 Mastery of the Unseen, and it performed pretty well. It works really well with Purphoros and...
No Monastery Mentor?
Nope.
Wow. Okay.
See, the problem is like with Monastery Mentor, you want non-creature spells in your deck.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of, well, I would say more than half of the cards in Naya tokens, the non-land cards, are creatures. The only ones that aren't is like a couple Dictates, the Elspeth, the Xenagos, Planeswalker, and the Hordling Outburst. And, you know, Hordling Outburst is one of the cards that you would most likely cut to make room for Monastery Mentor. So it's not the right fit, even though it makes tokens. You know, Rabble Master, you get a token every turn, which triggers Purphoros, and you can pump them with Purphoros. So it's just not the ideal...
Yeah, it doesn't fit for what we got.
Yeah, it does not fit that deck. I mean, the deck is explosive, and it does powerful things even without Purphoros. But if you have Purphoros out, it's disgusting.
Game over, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can ramp out into, like, turn on very weird games. Not really weird, but you can get, like, turn 3 Purphoros pretty easily, or turn 3 Xenagos into Purphoros on turn 4. And then basically every spell you cast after that deals, like, 2 to 4 to 6 damage just by the creatures that come into play.
And who's running that much removal right now for gods anyways? That's what I find in Standard.
Like Blue-Black Control even cut away most of their vaults, which could hit it. But yeah, very, very few people have a way to take care of an established, god. Because most of them are not even running, Banishing Light. And then, you know, post sideboard, a lot of them will bring in like Banishing Lights or whatnot. But, I have a few, of the Reclamation Sage and some Glare of Heresies. So I have ways to recur them. So it did really well. I won FNM with it.
Nice.
Didn't have much of a problem with anything. The deck is just really solid. I love it.
Nice. I've been
although my friend did come up with a very, very cool combo deck.
Oh.
And we're trying to tinker with it to see if we can, you know, get it to be tier one. Basically, he runs a lot of walls. And whatnot, and sacrifices them to, I think it's a Wall of Mulch that does that, where you pay 1 green, you can sacrifice it and draw a card.
Okay.
But you play a bunch of creatures, you sacrifice them, draw cards, or let them die, whatever it is, and you also play Purphoros, and you say your Wayfinder to fill up your graveyard, and then you Rally of the Ancients for like 4, and you drop everything in your deck from your graveyard onto the battlefield, and all the Purphoros triggers.
Wow, a Purphoros combo deck? That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. And he did really well. I think he lost 1 match.
Hmm.
It's very, very it's like the only thing I can relate it to is almost kinda like playing against Tron in Modern, where, you know, you're just really frightened of what they're gonna do. I think it's fragile in against control, because if they just hold up counter spells, you're fucked. But you know, it seems like it's got potential.
Interesting. I've been since the weekend. I've been deep in the Modern brews, experimenting with the Gauntlet, working with Scotty Mac. We've been trying to tweak various lists.
You're on Geist now, aren't you?
Well, Geist is one of the lists that, like, I have all the cards in Modern, so I on MTGO, so I played them all. So I'm brewing there before I like spend the money to pull the decks. But I looked at all the cards since my last redemption of Fate Reforged and RTR and all those other decks. Or all those other sets. I really have a lot of the cards. Like, I have, like, 70% of most of the decks. I'm just missing, like, Snapcaster Mages, Geists, and Restor Angels. So it is a deck I'm seriously considering building, and it's well above my ability to play right now, so I'm hesitant to do it. But it is interesting. At the same time, while I was doing that, I wanted to see, well, what beats this deck? So I started to brew up a Junk Zoo list. Without Liliana's in it, and that was actually doing really, really well. Scotty and me were tweaking it, and it was doing really, really fucking good. So that's a deck I'm kind of interested in as well. Burn, even Burn, like, Kevy, your red-white Burnless, or even red-white Black, is doing really interesting as well. Like Modern feels...
I had to go back to Black, because without having the card draw, like, really feeling the sting of not having fucking Treasure Cruise... And, like, kind of going, I basically kind of went
stalling out
to
again.
What I was playing before, but it's like, I mean, it's definitely hard. It was just so easy before, it was almost like cheating. And, I mean, yeah, it's obviously why the card got fucking banned. It was just like, Jesus Christ, like, I'm, like, usually the biggest, I mean, you always have bad games, but the biggest problem was always just running out of gas. And it was like, this is just not fair. You know, I mean, shit, Bob helped with that, and Bob usually got killed, but it still would just, you know, get me that extra card or two I needed. And fuck, dude, like, Treasure Cruise was just, yeah, it was broken.
Yeah, it's...
And, you know, it's getting back to fucking playing Bob. It sucks compared to Treasure Cruise, but it's, you know, it works.
I'll say this. After the last 5 days playing, you know, 20 games a day in the Modern queues, I have to say the Modern tournament queues are the best I've ever seen them. There are so many people, like, real hardcore players playing. Nobody's playing, like... The community already banned themselves. They're like, okay, no one plays it. So I know Marcel went in and fucked everyone over playing Treasure Cruise, and people were just pissed off, right? And I'm like, Marcel, I get what you're doing, but that's not cool,
that
dude.
Part, man?
Yeah, because it's so not cool because everyone's trying to test, right? So, man, so, I...
Marcel's in there just hosing.
He's just and he's like, oh, wow, I get why this was banned. And I'm like, yeah, it's not fair, dude. Dude, we're playing fair decks, and you're playing with this fucking draw three.
He's playing Legacy in the Modern queues.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But it was interesting. I saw on the weekend a huge resurgence of green red, Titantron almost, where they're not even trying to win with like Emrakul or Karn. They're just tightening you with Valakut. So it's almost old school like red green Titans with Valakut.
Yeah, that's the one that uses the
Through the Breach. Yeah, and they also use
Through the Breach. I also thought that was like the combo deck with that one artifact from Worldwake, where everything comes into play on
tap. No, Amulet of Vigor. No. So the list that the most tuned list that I saw and I played against that frustrated the living shit out of me. I played the same guy. I played him against the Junk list, the Geist list, even Green Machine, and he just wrecked my face. Because it's just too... You can't Thought Seize him. You can't... It's just too redundant. And if you luck out and you hit the Titan, okay, you can buy yourself maybe a turn, but he's going to get you. And it was green-red Titans was, like, huge. It's not Tron. It's green-red Titans. It's essentially what it is. And so they have... access to Anger of the Gods, all sweepers. It's very hard if you are a token deck, which was funny because then in the early part of the week, people adapted to that list, and they started to run this Mardu tokens list, which I wanted to talk to you about, Kevy, because this looks very interesting. So it's Young...
Is it Modern?
Yes, this is all Modern, okay? So it's Bob, Young Pyromancer... they were substituting in, but I know they're gonna they were using Brimaz, but they want to put in Monastery Mentor. So yeah. It's Bob, Young Pyromancer, Monastery Mentor, Path, Bolt, Thoughtseize is essentially the deck. That's the guts of the deck. And Lingering Souls. Yeah, and Helix probably, and some burn to finish you off. But it was actually very interesting watching the deck evolve. At first, it was that, and then people experimented super heavy on the tokens until Green Red Tron started boarding in. What's that fucking Pyroclasm and some of the other
Pyroclasm is main in Red Green Tron.
Well, it wasn't early on. They were doing Anger of the Gods because Junk is really heavy right now. So initially, it started off that the Junk Zulus don't run anything under 4 toughness, which is what I thought would be the smart way to do it. So you run Smiter,
Anger
Rhino.
Wouldn't even get that either,
right? But then, you know, I guess the counter is tokens kind of gets under it. I don't know. Like, the modern metagame is insane. It's all over the place.
I have seen that it does get, yeah, it is a bit all over the place, and I'm liking what it's doing.
I like it. It's actually
this
fresh.
This is what I was talking about.
Brews are all over. And,
yeah, exactly. That's what I was talking about. As long as it does what they want it to do, which it seems like it is, then, yeah, those bans were absolutely awesome. Mm-hmm. So I'm
not to play with Treasure Cruise, but I'm definitely fucking cool with it. Cause I mean, on top of it, like it literally, it makes you, I mean, that's kind of across the board. It makes you be a better Magic player, you know, makes people brew, it makes people do shit like that. But like, even for me, it's like, if Treasure Cruise didn't get banned, I would still be kicking back playing the same fucking burn deck. And now it's like, okay, cool. I'm back to my old burn deck and I've made some tweaks and I'm fucking around with it and I like it. But at the same time, I'm really interested in branching out now, which is going to make me a better Magic player. Cause I mean, like Maddie's talking about this Mardu tokens list. I'm like, ah, yeah, it's cool and all, but if I'm going to play red, white, and black, I'm probably just going to burn spell you to the face, and that's going to be it. I actually want to get out, you know, and kind of screw around with some other stuff. Like, I mean, not that it's really much different, but I'm like, I'm thinking about building Infect.
Infect is one of the decks that, and I still feel, I know a lot of people are testing, but when you run into a really good robots player, you're fucked.
I thought for a long time, like, I wanted to build Affinity for a long time, but I was like, ah, man, I don't want to buy the fucking the Monk's Opals, and fucking, I'm just going to leave that alone for a while. And then, but yeah, I don't know, like, in fact, there's, like, fucking, I'm still, like, kind of dicking around with some mono black stuff, but I, like, as I've been looking since the bans happened, it's like, dude, there's a bunch of different lists that I'd like to fuck around with and play.
You know what the list that I
can't use my beta account right now though. Somebody else is. Well, I don't think you're supposed to say it out loud, but
we'll edit that. The funny thing is, a deck that it's my personal, like, pet deck on the side that I try to play every once in a while, and I credit to Tyler, the Fro Hot Sauce Man. It is the Grizzle Reanimator Black Red deck. And that deck is so awesome because you could win on turn 2 out of nowhere. I don't know how many times you could just pull it out. Thoughtseize yourself, turn 2, you know, you got some prisms out, and boom, you just can go off, and they're like, what the fuck? And if they don't know what's going on, you win. But it's one of those decks where you can totally sit there and just draw the wrong set of cards, and you're just like, fuck.
Just fuck.
And you're fucked. And it's so frustrating because you can't. And I started to wreck the deck because I'm like, I gotta add blue because I need card draw. I gotta find my pieces.
I need
yeah, that's true, right? Like, everything that was like got me thinking, okay, if I get a bad draw, how do I get out? And you don't get out, really. You know, you're relying on Faithless Looting and Tormenting Voice, maybe, if you're lucky. And those don't really cut it, right? So I was trying to add blue, and then you end up diluting the entire combo part of it, and oh man, it's so hard to like to be Treasure Cruise has like spoiled what you thought was possible. It really does feel like they pulled the power out of Modern. It does. Yeah. It does. I wish I could have played with Treasure Cruise a little more. I'm kind of pissed that it's gone.
It's because I wanted two legacy formats.
Man, legacy is its own thing with Force of Will and Stoneforge. Come on, man. It's a totally different. Just because
Force of Will is different in the fact that you can cast Treasure Cruise on turn 2 instead of 3 or 4.
That sounds like a wicked format. How do we fix it? Drawing cards is addictive. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's something that's very interesting. Of course, we saw Tasigur in the hands of G-Fabs there take down the SCG, which was pretty good. I mean, he played phenomenal. He had a stupid, crazy, crazy deck, the Sultai deck that he was just probably... I think it was
Sultai mid-range, yeah?
Yep, and it was just... I think he was one of the few people that could have piloted that well. He did phenomenal things. I did see a lot of people attesting out Tasiger in Modern, and while I will agree with a lot of people that yes, you can delve him out early, and yes, he appears to draw you cards, yes, he isn't doing anything. And the biggest problem in Modern is, go ahead, Tasiger, and what else? And if you aren't doing something, like, if you're not Tasigering for the win the next turn, wow, you're taking a very big chance that your opponent isn't going to beat you. And that's the thing that I saw with that. Now, maybe there's a deck where you're using heavy discard, and, you know, Tasiger is your, I don't know, it's your pressure. It's your pressure in a control deck, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, Tombstalker has seen play in Legacy, and like see one or two of in like some sort of controlling blue-black list.
Yeah.
With Tasiger seems very reasonable.
Like a bug
I
list.
You don't
maybe?
Have to play him until you can, you know, start recurring cards and getting advantage from him. And he is not a you know, a bad body to fall back on.
No,
he
he's
blocks
a 4/5.
Well,
yeah.
He attacks
yeah.
well. So like. I could see him seeing play in a right list, like maybe a Grixis control list runs him. There's a lot of different ways that you could abuse him. He just, you know, you don't just run him out on turn three because you can. So right. you would, you know, stand behind your interactive spells, your counter spells, your, you know, terminates, your down, you know, what's that one that's the split card, black, red,
I think,
and blue?
Yeah, I think you would go bug, right? Wouldn't you be going, like, Abrupt Decays?
You could go bug, but I just think Grixis has the better answers and, like, the better spells to recur with it.
Holy shit, the Maple Leaf scored a goal. Oh, I'm sorry, go on.
Wow, man.
And you can see how much TSG's in on this Modern stuff.
Love it.
We're talking about Banana Fang. Come on, man.
Yeah, Princess Consuela Banana Hammock.
Consuela Banana
hey,
Hammock.
I want to get it. I want to get a couple of those modified. I definitely want a Princess Consuela Banana Hammock, and I definitely want a Maddie Tasiger.
I am wearing my official Tasiger outfit at the moment. I have my little banana necklace on. It's awesome. My little gilded
banana
penis
liquor yeah. right next to him.
I'm drinking out of a banana penis. It's awesome. No, seriously, TSG, take back what you said about Tasiger in the cube. I think he's good. Come on. I think he's a cube worthy.
No, come on, take that shit back. A 40 card format is very different. It's not a shoe-in to me.
Oh, he's so fun to play with, though. Isn't cube about fun?
I will give you that it is a fun magic card to play with. Yes. I think it's ripe for standard. No banana puns intended.
Ripe.
but beyond that,
bitch, I like bananas.
He's still a fortress for a few mana. That's good. To me, the quality of the card in cube comes from the fact that he is a good like Tombstalker imitation, not that he is the card recursive engine that he can be in the other formats. I think that.
Is that what, just because the caliber of player playing with him? Because
no,
it's
nothing to do with the caliber of player. It has entirely to do with
it's
the
skill
card
testing pump. Card, man.
Well, it's also like I agree. I'm not sure how great in cube he is. I'm weary of him in modern. I think he could see play in the right deck. In cube, like the activation cost is really what gets it. You know, because you can't lower that cost. That's always going to be two green, two blue, and two colorless. So in cube, you're asking a lot of mana to recur a random card from your graveyard. Now, I understand that you can, you know, delve away the cards that you're not interested in, but most of the time, you're going to be very interested in one card, and the other one's not going to do you a whole lot.
Yeah. Think about the scenario in standard where you keep getting Satyr Wayfinder back. Like, that's...
Satyr Wayfinder is a cube card. Come on.
Oh, what?
There definitely is. I think what you guys are failing to realize is...
I think he's a cube card in Pauper cubes.
what an ass. I don't know, man.
How's that an ass? I was being very, very...
You don't run Satyr Wayfinder in your real cube cards.
He could possibly define standard right now. You know, in the, it was funny when I was going to Friday Night Magic, most of my old friends, they wanted to play standard. They had put together a few decks And I was like, oh, well, if I want to play Standard, I want to play my own brew, and it would require a lot of new cards, and playing Standard the first day a set comes out is annoying because it's so much scrounging to get stuff. But I was sitting there kind of just assembling a list, and it was a Sultai control list, very much so. It was very close to what Fabiano ended up playing, although I had not gone as deep on Tassigar as he had gone. But I really like that style of deck right now in the current meta. I was going to go a lot deeper, play maybe some Highland games or some Omen Speakers or just something else early. His tech of Feed the Pack was really sweet. And obviously, anytime you could recur any of these spells is just so fucking good.
I thought it was a lot easier watching GFabs recur what he wanted than I thought. Like, I thought, there's no way. It's going to be random. But he really did craft his graveyard to the point where you're just like, oh my god, you're fucked. Like, he's going to get exactly what he wants. Or he's going to put you in a situation to give him an answer. I thought it was well done.
The cards in the deck feed on each other. You're playing Murderous Cut as well as Tassigar himself, which can, you know, the second one's going to eat a lot of the spells you don't want to get off the first one, as well as Dig Through Time, which I think is really key for this format.
Sure.
And you could also play Treasure Cruise. I think that the whole situation is ripe for that deck right now, and I think that, to me, that is the Standard set forward. I mean, you get to play Sultai Charm and Reclamation Sage for all of the coarser decks and any of the other enchantments you got out there. You have the most card advantage you have at anybody else with Dig and Cruise and Tassigar himself. I think those three cards really define the format in terms of card advantage. And what I felt was the weak point were just, you know, how do you handle the aggressive decks in terms of like blue-white heroic? I guess red deck, although the red-white deck arguably is better because it could be more modal than the kind of the red aggressive decks. So finding the best answers for those decks, possibly even playing the new Fleshbag Marauder. I felt two drops were important to really survive long enough to do all your tricks. Because obviously in the long game, you know, this is the closest deck you've seen to the Sphinx's Revelation decks of olds, where if you live long enough, you obviously are going to win because you have all the card advantage. I really like how it's defining Standard right now.
I agree with that. So what do we think of the cost of Tassigar? Now, I know I was watching SCG, and I wasn't watching another program that was on at the same time because it was horribly done. But I was watching Tassigar at $4 at 8 in the morning, and then by the time SCG was over, it was up to 12. And I could definitely... and the hype was on hardcore, man. Even the Cedric and what's his name were just dropping Tassigar's name left, right, and center. I could tell SCG was just very happy to move Tassigar's at a high price. The hype was on board. I don't know if he's $12. Yeah. I think he's $12 right now, which I think is...
Yeah, he was 10 last I checked.
Did he drop? Oh, well, maybe...
I just pulled one.
Maybe. What a bastard. Maybe it dropped a bit. It's definitely a card, I think, that people are going to play. It's fun. I think there's a lot of the pieces in Bug right now, or Sultai, if you so choose to call it that. that I still haven't gotten used to Sultai yet, but I will.
I had to remember what the fuck Sultai was. Like, I've gotten used to some of them, but I had to actually remember what the fuck Sultai was.
Well, I think it's like the ones that have seen play in like multiple formats. Like, you know, Jeskai is probably the one that people recognize the most.
I think Sultai was the one that I couldn't fucking figure out, and I just had to do fucking the reverse math in my head. I was like, oh, wait, no.
Which wedge? Yeah, Tassigar's $9 right now, so I guess.
Okay, so he's gone down.
Yeah, I guess the hype has gone down a tad right now.
I mean, the hype still plays. What was a $4 rare on Sunday night was a $10 rare the next morning. And anything in between is still, I think, the first big.
Is foil still like 30?
Yep. Yep.
God, I'm selling that.
That kind of brings us to I know TSG, you brought up the other day. Was it yesterday, day before on Twitter? I don't know. Maybe it was fucking over the weekend. But we were talking about like the practice that's become fucking the standard now of like people's orders getting canceled. Like when a card spikes like that, and like I mentioned something like I think we need a blacklist for fucking sellers in the community. that do that kind of shit, because, you know, I don't know what, if any of that's occurred yet or anything, but like, it's, you know, something we've seen, I don't know how many times, you know, card spikes because fucking somebody, you know, a couple people are playing it or it kind of breaks out, card spikes, everybody's orders. Now, like, I get it, you know, that when you see a card spike, or you, when you see a card like that's being played at a pro tour or at an open that kind of breaks out and everybody wants to get their hands on it right now, like, I understand, like, you know, the places maybe not having the fucking volume for it, or, you know, them being like, oh shit, this card was fucking $3, now it's fucking 12, I'm not gonna fucking take that loss, which I think that part of it's fucking bullshit too, but it's, you know, just people canceling orders left and right. Like, I feel like we need to, I don't know, somehow.
That's human greed, man. We're not stopping that.
I'm not saying we stop that, but like the you know, like, you know, I don't know how many times I've heard TSG say vote with your wallet, but the problem is you can't really do
human
that.
Human greed.
At least six times, I would imagine. But go on.
Well, I've heard you say that quite a few times, and it just depending on the situation. Yes. It's kind of the same theory, same idea, but you know, you can't really vote with your wallet when you're like, I want to buy the fucking cards, and they're like, oh no, we canceled your order. You know, like, that card went up, we canceled your fucking order. And so, like, I feel like the only way that's going to fucking sink into some of the retailers that do that shit is like, hey man, fucking, it's out there in the open that you're one of those shit bags that will cancel people's orders because a card spiked. So, you know, as much as we could possibly make people aware of your name, then people won't buy from you. So I don't know. I think that's something that would be nice if we could try to fucking put that together somehow. It's just a nice little fucking blacklist so that, like, the people that are out there in the community buying fucking cards don't buy from shitbags that cancel your order. Because, I mean, to me, it's like, okay, you know what? If a card was fucking $3 that you have in stock and that you sold to somebody and it spikes to fucking 12, you buy-listed that card. Either you opened that out of a fucking box, which cost you the same amount as every other fucking card in that box, or you know, that you were opening for the store, or you buy-listed those cards for, you know, if it's a $3 card, what is fucking buy-list is going to be like fucking a 50 cents, a dollar, something like that. And then it shoots up to fucking 12, and now you're all of a sudden going to cancel somebody's order and not ship it to them like you're losing money. But you're not fucking losing money. It was money you didn't have in the fucking first place. You paid a dollar for the fucking card, and they bought it for $3. Eat a dick, like, you know, ship it to them. And there are some fucking stores that will do that. And like, when we were talking about that on Twitter, like, Robot Large brought up the other side of it. He's like, you know, not only a blacklist for fucking asshole fucking vendors that will cancel your order when a card goes up, but, you know, also it'd be nice to have the retailers recognize that honor their
yes.
shit. They're like, oh, you ordered that card? Oh, that's fucking awesome. Like, you know, good job. You got in on the fucking spike. You know, like, these cards come in, or these orders come in an order. Like, I'm sorry, we live in the fucking the age of the internet, the age of computers. It's not like you don't know who ordered it first. So if 150 people order fucking 200 fucking Tassigers because SCG is fucking talking about it right now and the shit's spiking, like, the people that ordered their cards a week before that because they thought Tassiger was going to be a good fucking card, fucking ship them to them.
Yeah,
ship your stock to the people that ordered it first. Put at the fucking prices that you fucking published, and fucking be done with it. Like, that, it is what it is. Like, you know, if people are getting their orders canceled, like, you obviously if you're giving people confirmations on orders that you don't have stock for, you're a fucking cunt anyway. If you're just planning on getting a bunch of these cards and you're going to sell them...
Kevin just shot a hole in the whole pre-order business just right there.
Well, no, I mean, I get the pre-order thing. I understand that. And I mean, like, but the fact is like, this wasn't so much a pre-order thing. They had their fucking, you know, the set was already out. Like, it's one thing if a fucking... But then again, you know, you also got to realize that, like, in pre-orders, everybody gets raped on prices anyway because they're like, oh yeah, that Planeswalker, that's fucking... That's $50, man. It's a Planeswalker. Don't you know? If you want it... If you want to pre-order that shit, man, you're fucked. But, like, just straight up normally with cards, it's like, you know, they have a fucking stock of fucking Tassigers. And they're like, oh, yeah, these are fucking $3. So I order one. You order one. TSG orders fucking 30 of them because he thinks it's going to be a great card. And then David jumps on the fucking SCG. I'm just using this as an example, but David jumps on the SCG bandwagon and orders fucking 30 of them while it's going up. You know, so I get mine. Maddie gets his. We get them for $3. You know, TSG gets his 10 for $3. And then when it's back in stock, David can buy his for fucking $12. Like it, $12 a piece.
Man, I got fucked. It's,
yeah, you got fucked.
That's because you opened a foil fucking.
Like, you know, the only argument I've seen for this kind of shit, and it just, you know, fucking around the internet through Twitter, the only argument I've ever seen for this whole canceling people's orders is like, oh my God, they're fucking losing money on it. You're not losing shit. If you had those cards in stock, you buy listed them and you got them for a hell of a lot cheaper than what you're fucking paying or what you're selling them for anyway. That's how you make your money. I get that. But if you're going to fucking cancel out an order that was already there, it just it pisses me off to no end. Like,
well,
it's just silly.
Well, let me tell you.
No one's happy about it. Yeah. Let's put it that way. And I when I posted that on Twitter over the weekend, I was like half expecting to hear from people who were having negative experiences and half not expecting to hear anything at all. And I did get a number of replies. I have no idea what you just said. I did get a number of replies from people saying they had some negative experiences from place A or place B. To me, none of them were places I'd ever heard of. So,
right.
No, I mean,
I mean, that's kind of a plus too that they aren't like. Well, I mean, then again, those aren't like. You're probably not going to be a very reputable business if all you're doing is pissing people off and kind of ripping people off for cards. Essentially, you know, you're not going to get a name as a fucking card store that people are going to fucking buy from. I mean, the reputable sources, like, you know, if you're buying from fucking the bigger stores, well, then you're probably going to get your order shipped to you.
Well, let me tell you a story. So on the weekend, because this ties right in, obviously I just come off the pre-release at Face to Face, which, you know, I'm not here to suck their dick off, and I don't care if they cancel their sponsorship of the cast. I still think it is the best store I've ever been in. And take that as you will.
Yeah, they're gonna cancel it after that.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, I'm just saying it is. It was one type of experience.
You
and
get waffles, dude. Fucking, you get waffles. That's all.
Yeah, you get waffles.
You get waffles. And in the morning, we's having waffles.
We have waffles. So Rico travels. Mr. Burninator Society. He was in town, so he's like, hey Matt, come on out. And I'm like, all right, sweet. We'll head down to the local LGS here in Oakville and crack a couple packs, because, you know, whatever, and shoot the shit. So I walk into this place, and I've tried, and I know TSG told me, you know, hey, build a community with your cube, man. I fucking hate this fucking store so much. I fucking hate them. I'm so done. I'm fucking done. I'm done. I'm so, every time I walk in, no one knows my fucking name. They don't give a fuck. I ask, and I'm just
saying, cheers, motherfucker. This is magic.
I ask. This is what pissed me off. Before Rico got there, I just casually asked him, like, "Oh, well, you got the Geisen, like, Snapcaster?" I'm like, you know, I'm trying to price out what it would cost. And I see, you know, on, and this was, Snapcaster just hit $30. It was $32 on Face to Face, and it's $40 in the case. And I'm like, whatever. So I'm like, hey, do you got a playset of them? I'm curious if you'd do a deal. That's all I said. Huh. He comes down, looks me in the face, is like, the price is what the price is. I'm not going to do a deal. I mean, I don't have any trouble moving these. I mean, why would I lose money? Why would you take my money? Why would you I don't understand why you would take my money. I don't understand. Like, I understand why you would do that. And that's what he said to me. I am now.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
I'm walking backwards, and I just turn around and I say, fuck it, man. I don't want a fucking thing. I'm out. I don't give a fuck. I'm out. And Rico travels. He walks in, and we start talking, and he's like, what's the matter? I'm like, this store is bullshit. I'm fucking sick of looking like a walking wallet. Like, there's no desire to talk to you, to care. How about you ask, hey, why do you want those Snapcaster mages? Oh, you're building Team Geist? Let's talk. And I'm not asking them for $5. Like, if you buy a playset, I don't know, spend $300, I don't know, give the guy a $10 discount. Like, who gives a shit? And I just feel like there's such a, okay, I get it. You're in this exclusive place, and the people who aren't going to go to Toronto, you know, they're stuck here, and you could charge whatever the fuck you want. But it's just like, ugh. Like, dude, you threw away my business for life. I will never go to your fucking store. And coming from, like, face-to-face to this, it's black and white. So I implore anyone who listens to this cast, for the few five or six people that listen to this cast, go to face-to-face because it is unlike any experience you will ever have if those are the type of game store that you're used to dealing with. It's just night and day. It's I just
plus pancakes.
Yeah, plus fucking pancakes. I don't know. I was just
and Matt Mealing sandwiches.
Yeah, Matt Mealing
triple face to face games. So sandwich good.
So yeah,
so sandwich good.
And David did not make that saying before he knew about the sandwich. That was precog right there. That was Minority Report shit. I don't know. Actually, I was talking to Tony and I'm like, I think that, you know, while it's great that there's a Matt Mealing sandwich, why isn't there a Kevin Metal sandwich? And why isn't there a David Raging Gumby sandwich? And why isn't there a TSG banana peanut butter sandwich? I don't know. Just saying.
I feel like I haven't, well, the three of us haven't been able to be in store, and I think that we will be in store at some point in our lives. And we're gonna have to just be like, all right, Tony, let's go in the kitchen. We're gonna cook some shit, and you're gonna name it after me.
I don't even know. I'll tell. Okay, right now I can tell you.
It's gonna be cocaine and Red Bull.
A cocaine Red Bull lemonade. There you go. The Kevin Metal.
That's just sour. It's just extra shit that I don't need.
How much are we charging for that one? $100 $100
is going to be $300 if it goes off the stripper's ass.
Yeah, they are going to be expensive, but it will take your brain to a whole different level. Like, you will be so focused on your magic cards for about 10 minutes, then you'll find something else to do.
I don't know what the TSG sandwich is, but I'm sure it's in the shape of a square.
I keep thinking of I keep trying to figure out the Kevin Metal, actually. I keep thinking it's something like a peanut butter and jelly and a Kraken. I don't really.
It's got to be deep and greasy. That's for Kevin. I imagine a cheeseburger, but like in batter and deep fried.
I mean, it really
cheeseburger.
Is really
it's a cheeseburger. There
what go. What phase of Kevin are we at? Are we at the morning after Kevin or party mode Kevin? Because those are two very different meals.
Yeah, party mode Kevin is Red Bull and cocaine. And fucking the day after Kevin is a fucking battered deep fried cheeseburger. Like, it's fucking, that's it, man.
I'm pretty sure you could have both at the same time, you know, a beverage and a meal. I'm just saying. I don't know.
That's true. Though they might balance each other out because a fucking battered deep fried cheeseburger is probably going to put you into nap mode real quick. But you got Red Bull and cocaine, then you're fucking...
Cocaine. It's not even cocaine anymore. It's cocaine.
Cocaine.
It's cocaine, and it's you take it straight from a hypodermic needle.
Hypodermic needles from the cocaine.
Well, I'm pretty tired about hearing about people having better times at face-to-face Toronto than we're having. It's lovely
GP
that it's so
Toronto,
amazing.
Man. Come on up.
Yeah, I really want to. I don't.
Do you know how cheap we can get Leaf tickets? Because no one cares. No.
Well, you know what month it is.
Because no one cares. At some point, we have to make the pilgrimage up there. Yes. We'll have to just
definitely. I mean,
rain down California on the motherfuckers. Like, the three of us will fucking show up on a flight and just wreck the Canadians' world. Wow.
They're going to really be excited to have us after that.
Yeah, no,
you're going to have little kids running.
I would imagine that our trip up there will have more of a draw than the Super Sunday series. That is my segue.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, did anybody happen to watch that?
I mean, it's not even a segue. That's just a given. But yeah.
Well,
give it to you.
Okay, so the real sad truth of the matter is I think there was one of the guys from Face-to-Face was actually in the Super Series, but it was so boring, I couldn't watch it. I just gave up. I watched maybe 20 minutes, and I was like...
Now, I don't want to call out people's play skill level or question their ability in the game, but you're talking about a group of people that didn't day two a GP that were then featured playing Magic, and it wasn't like a very extremely large pool of people to draw from. You had, just over 40 players in the room, and you know that gives you 20 matches to choose from to highlight. People try to play Standard the day a new set comes out. as well as draft a brand new set. I think that, you know, and again, I'm not saying these players are bad. I know several of them used to go to my FNM that I actually still play Magic with. And I still didn't even watch for those people's sake. I mean, I checked in to see how Kamui and Voland were doing. Thankfully, Kamui top-8ed. But again, it was just, I don't know if it was the structure, the format, no hype for this thing.
I think it was just how it was done.
Hashtag no hype.
In all honesty, like, you go and watch, you know, and it's funny because 2 years ago, me and Kevy would just harp on SCG how shitty they were. And their coverage is just phenomenal now. Like, Cedric Phillips and fucking the white guy with short hair, I can't remember his fucking
name. God, you should just stick with that. Never learn his name.
I can't fucking
Cedric Phillips and the white guy should be the name of the spinoff show.
I can't. Patrick something. Patrick Sullivan. All right.
I think it's like Adrian Brody or something.
No, it's Patrick Sullivan. Anyways.
Patrick Brody?
I don't know who the fuck it was. Sullivan, in all honesty, Sullivan. I don't know. It's the white guy with short hair. But
Steady P and the white guy.
Steady P and the honky. It was. Was,
into like a 70s buddy.
It was half an Oreo is what I was watching, but in all honesty, it was really well done. Like, the coverage was good, their insight was excellent, the matches were very good. There were some that were shitty early on, but it was overall a better produced cast, or yeah. You know, and I just felt like this is from Wizards and it looks like some home fucking Cam 8 fucking dungeon footage, and it's horrible. Like, come on, guys. It's 2015. Buy a fucking camera. Like, why at Wizards that they show 8 or 9 of these a year, all these events? Buy some fucking better cameras. Okay, so it's gonna cost you $20,000. Well, Hasbro made $4 trillion. Like, write that shit off, man. I just feel like they need to up their game.
It's an MTGO level production.
Yeah. Gumby said it right there. It feels like they just don't care. And it, you know what? It makes me not want to care.
Well, this event is in an awkward gray area. I will try to come look at the other side of the coin here. So long, long ago, Grand Prix used to have a structure where the day 2 of a Grand Prix had a Pro Tour qualifier attached to it. And that was the reason you stayed at a GP weekend. It was like, hey, you day 2, that's awesome. You didn't day 2, you were in the car in the hotel room with the guys that did day 2. You go to the PTQ, everybody happy. By taking away those Sunday PTQs and instead giving more invites to the Grand Prix itself, you really took away a lot of the incentive for players to stick around on Sunday, which was a kind of a blind spot for what felt like a short period of time. I think that people that run events, a lot of events now, I don't think they fall victim to this as much because they're smarter than that. But I remember the first event, it was like Austin, January 2012. Like, the room was a fourth of the way filled that was 24 hours ago on a Saturday because there was no PTQ on a Sunday and no event. So according to Alan Hockman, who is the regional organizer for the Midwest, a lot of those event organizers sat down with Wizards of the Coast and tried to figure out an event that would keep people in the building on Sunday. And the Super Sunday series was what they came up with. You know, now you as the audience kind of gauge, is that a success or not? Did they pull that off? Do you think, did they execute it well? Because as far as I'm concerned, I think they do a disservice almost by broadcasting it. I think if it was more of a private, because the whole point was that you go to dinner with R&D members, you get to see Wizards headquarters, you get to play Magic with these people. It wasn't so much about like trying to have a mini GP for 40 people. And I think that at this point, that's almost more of a detriment to its possible success.
Yeah, dude, I feel like they should have given this. Yeah, I agree. Like, if they had an incentive to, hey, you get a ticket to the Pro Tour, maybe that would have been a little more exciting. I don't know. It's a weird series. I feel like, who cares? I don't know, man. It needed something, man.
Well, that's what it comes down to. It's like, eh, who gives a shit? Just watch the SCG coverage instead.
I know. I want to see Standard. Like,
I mean, it's such the worst timing, too, because you've got a new set that's come out. It's the beginning of the year. Everyone's super amped on it. And you want to watch 40 people in a tiny room that have to draft twice? Or do you want to watch you know, 1,500 players or whatever Star City Games had play 15 rounds of standard in front of your face.
Mm. Especially with the new brews, like
with better coverage.
Yeah, and it's just the brews were the most, and I've said this so many times, the most exciting thing, even in modern right now, like David said, like we're all excited to brew, so that's what I want to see. I don't want to see, I really don't want to watch draft. I really.
Oh, and I gotta, yeah. Like, while we're talking about all this fucking, like, the terrible fucking coverage there, and how well fucking SCG's been doing with their coverage, I gotta give a fucking shout out to fucking Connor O'Donnell, one of our fucking fans and fucking Twitter follower fucking buddy. He's also a fucking, you know, sweet-ass fucking drummer, but, yeah, he's, like, the fucking,
How SCG drunk are you, Cavity?
So much fucking.
Yeah, that's that. I can always tell how drunk Kevy is by the amount of fuckings that come
the
out.
Fuck per minute.
No, it's not always so much the drinking. It's trying to remember what the fuck I'm trying to say.
Oh, it's your version of is fucking.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck is my version of
Got it.
Thank you for finally clarifying that to the rest of the
Kevy,
world.
It's just.
You just say fuck a lot.
Kevy, it's just the white guy in SETI. Just so.
The white guy and say, no, dude,
it's got it. The other way around is way funnier.
SETI and the white bread?
It's like Jake and the Fat Man. It's SETI and the white bread.
Yeah,
SETI and the white bread. SETI and the white bread. SETI and the white bread. White bread and SETI. Okay,
SETI and Wonder Bread.
Yeah. Big shout out to Connor, because Connor's fucking, I actually.
Wonder Bread and SETI P. Okay, go.
Listen,
sorry.
I pulled up his Twitter. Yeah, he's the fucking Zosia video director for fucking SCG Live.
What?
He's fucking talking about how fucking sweet like SCG's coverage is, and this motherfucker, that's what he does for a fucking living, is fucking SCG's fucking coverage. And he's a fucking drummer. We were bullshitting all sorts of shit back and forth about, you know, music and whatnot. He's been a couple bands and stuff. And, yeah, he's a sweet ass dude. We talk on fucking Twitter all the time. And I just like made the connection while we were talking about like, man, SCG's coverage has gotten awesome. And fucking Magic's coverage, well, kind of sucks sometimes. And man, SCG's shit is cool. Oh, wait, I think I know a guy who has something to do with that. So I had to throw that in there. Big fucking shout out to Connor.
Nice.
He's a Blackhawks fan, so I mean, I don't really know. Like, he's a drummer and a Blackhawks fan, so on a personal level, like, I don't know, man. Like, we should hang out because you play hockey and rock band, but at the same time, I don't know, man. I don't know if we're gonna have the same opinions. I'm pretty sure he's gonna be in Vegas though, so we'll have.
Oh, I think I'm the only motherfucker on this cast that could give a shit less about hockey.
Oh, get out of here.
We all gotta, you know, there's gotta be something. Yeah, there's something wrong with all of us. I mean, fucking, you know, yeah. TSG is the black sheep of the fucking Magic community. Fucking Maddie and I are terrible Magic players, and you don't fucking care about hockey. Like, there's gotta be one thing wrong with all of us.
That's right. Everybody's got.
I think I would care if like I ever had the opportunity to fucking actually play hockey rather than like roller hockey or whatever the fuck we had here.
Roller?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with roller.
I just fucking embraced it, and I had a blast with roller hockey because I live in the fucking desert.
I mean, is there anywhere to skate on anything in the crest?
Yeah, it's called the pavement.
Like that's where I got my scoreboard.
Not ice skate. No.
Rink. No, not ice skate. It's the desert.
Ice doesn't last in the desert. Come on, Kissy.
I was always wondering about hockey. Like, I want to go to an NHL game because that seems like it would be fucking fun, but. Hockey.
We keep talking about like, you know, doing fucking, you know, Vegas, big SVU event, stuff like that, and like, oh, we should cast while we're there. We should just throw a fucking curveball into the fucking works. We should just go to a fucking ice.
Oh, let's like, do that. That would be so much fun.
I'll wear fucking GoPros on our heads, and then we'll just make it like a 4-way split screen video podcast. Oh god.
I could borrow one of the 60 fucking GoPro 4 or Black Pluses or whatever we have at work.
See, you just keep saying I just say fuck the whole time, and everybody thinks I'm a foul-mouthed asshole.
It's just well, they're accurate.
So let's talk about Mark Rosewater wanting to change Magic. Because apparently
he doesn't want to change it.
He
wishes he could change Magic.
These are some of the things that he would change if he could.
Well, no, I think it's his regrets. I think these are his long-term regrets.
Well,
about
he doesn't
changing.
Have access to all of these things. I mean, like changing what the card back looked like and not including the word Deckmaster is a little bit older than him.
True.
Yeah, no. That's the one thing I really have to weigh in on. You fuck with the card back, I'm going to be mad. And especially getting rid of the Deckmaster thing, you can't.
Why?
Because what the fuck, man? It's like it makes no sense. It's just there.
But,
it just says
no, but, okay. Deck. Okay, you know what though? How many? No. Stop. How many people do you play that don't use sleeves? Come on. I think sleeves are 90% tournament.
Right.
Like how it wouldn't matter too much, and draft wouldn't matter because you're drafting the same set.
It would matter because if you open the motherfucking pack. And the back is different. It's going to be like, this is stupid. It's not Magic anymore.
Oh, that's what Magic players have been saying for years.
No, and then, like, I get, like, they were saying that shit with fucking Innistrad. They're like, oh, you can't put something on the back because you're allowed to with the flip cards. I get that. Like, I get where they're coming from. And that didn't bother me. But, like, if you were to take, like, to me, it would just completely not be a Magic card anymore.
All right, well let's
if
look at his
something
list.
On the back, that's fine. But no, the one thing on his list that while we're talking about the back of the card, the one thing that cannot leave is the stray pen mark in the fucking.
Okay, I agree with that. That's gonna say okay.
That's gotta be because that's pissed me off for years. And if you took it away now, I'd be real.
Well,
mad.
let's go one by one because I think a lot of these are actually legit. So. He thinks different card frames for different types, so creatures, instants, lands, which I actually am 100% for. I think that would be great. I've always loved the unhinged lands, so if we did full art lands, I think that's what a land looks like. It's a landscape, it makes a lot of sense, and maybe instants and creatures look much different. I think that would actually be really awesome. I have nothing but positivity about that.
As long as it's done well,
yeah.
Like
not shit.
I could
get proxy guy to figure that out.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like for instance, if like your fucking if your sorceries and instants look like fucking Future Sight card frames.
That horrible frame. No.
No, I'm not even saying like the actual card frame, but like that different. Like
yes.
If they looked so far off, and then like your creatures look like they do now, like the
like
normal
creatures.
Modern. Like I wouldn't like that, but if you were to alter the borders to them, you know, fucking, you know, maybe even just frame the artwork different, and like I don't know, there's a lot of things you could do that would be subtle enough that it wouldn't just scream like this is a Pokemon card, but at the same time make them different enough so they're like easily distinguishable. You know, yeah, I could get on board with that as long as it just didn't look fucking ridiculous.
What about mana costs on the left hand side? That I can't. I don't like that.
I don't know what the reasoning for that is. Do you, TSG? Did he give any, like, explanation?
I think because
it's easier to fan your cards out, like, because of the standard way people hold cards.
Right.
And also,
so
I mean,
that's the answer.
Yeah.
But you could also just do it the other way.
But I mean, he's just giving you the optimal way he would do it. I think that's why in Future Sight they did it that way, to do it as a test. To see, but
I mean, if you think about it, it's a lot easier to see the casting cost. Like to kind of do it nowadays, you kind of have to fan your hand like top to bottom almost, make like a column of cards to be able to tell what your casting costs are.
Well, I mean, you just like you do it like if you hold the fucking stack of cards in your hand and you fan them out, like yeah, we all tend to fan to the right. I would assume probably because we're right-handed, but it would be just as easy to fan them to the left.
Well, those left-handed players
start
are fucked
now.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you fan them to the left, you see all the casting costs, and you don't see what the fucking card is. I mean, regardless, you're going to either be able to see what card it is, or you're going to see what the casting cost is. So, like, if you flip them around, like, and everybody fan them the way that they do now, you're going to see a bunch of casting costs and not what the card is. So, like, I don't know. It just seems kind of arbitrary and silly to change the side of it. When you could just fan your cards the other direction, if that's the reasoning for it. Now, if there's some other reason I don't know, then, you know, maybe. But to me, it's like that's just the direction you fan the cards out. You can either see the casting cost or you can see the name, and that there's no difference. That one seems kind of stupid.
Okay, what about this? This is the biggest thing, and I'm not sure I agree with this. Spells wouldn't fizzle if the target is removed.
Makes sense.
Now, yeah, from a logic, like, from a new player's standpoint, hey, I cast my Doomblade, oh, you bounced your guy. Yeah, but...
Doesn't matter, I still cast
it. Right? But then doesn't that cause a cascading effect into the entire rules of Magic?
Yeah,
right?
I think
that
so.
Feels like, ugh. It's opening up a bag of worms.
Again, you gotta remember that Mark's article is supposed to be from kind of the genesis of the game. It's not about... It's not about what you would change today to improve it. It's about if you go back to 1992 and put these things in from the ground floor. And when you I think when you phrase it like that, it makes a lot more sense where, you know, we know spells are countered when the target goes away and I have a target. Mm-hmm. But if you think about the game in a vacuum and new players approaching it, why would they know that? They wouldn't.
No,
know that.
I agree.
Well, I mean, like on the other side of it, though, I mean, it makes sense to me. Like if you're talking like the whole Vorthos of the game and like the whole what you're supposed to be doing is like you're a fucking planeswalker casting spells. Like if you cast a creature out there and it's just standing there all, "Rawr, I'm gonna fucking get this motherfucker," and they try to fucking Doomblade it, and you're like, "Oh, wait a second, nope, yoink," and pull it back into your fucking hand or back into your fucking energy being, whatever the fuck, there's nothing there for their fucking thing to hit, and it just kind of goes away. It just goes off behind you. You know, it's fucking, you know, I'm a lightning bolt that thing, and then he's just like, "No, you're not. I'm gonna fucking summon that back into my brain," and then your lightning bolt just all boo hits the ground and doesn't do anything.
I mean, like that makes a lot of sense, right? Like
what you're doing.
But isn't that the same thing as it fizzling? Because yeah, you cast your lightning bolt, but it didn't hit anything.
The thing where it comes into play, though, is when cards have two different modes. Yeah. Like, you know, the biggest one for me is like Cryptic Command. Bounce a permanent, draw a card. Mm. Well, if they remove that permanent from play, you don't get to draw a card. The entire spell is countered, which is a very common play. And so that's when this rule would come into play. Like, for most purposes, a Doomblade or a Lightning Bolt, if they bounce the permanent, it doesn't matter whether it's countered or theoretically hits the ground wherever the fucking creature was. Right. But it matters in when there's two different effects happening and you counter one by effectively countering the other.
I absolutely agree with you there, but that's still that gets into the rules as far as, like, you know, if you're looking at, like, you know, like TSG said, if you're looking at this from like back in the day, or, you know, when the game started, or from a new player's point of view, and this is like the ideology behind what you're doing, is you're casting these spells or you're sucking them back in or whatever the case may be. And then they cast a spell targeting it, and it's not there. It goes away. Now, if you get into, like you're saying, which I completely agree with you, but that's more of a rules in the card game kind of thing, and then that really affects the way the rest of the rules work with the cards. Like, you kind of have to go backwards. So it's kind of a either-or situation where you've got, like, if you're looking at it from, like, just the whole vibe of the game, yeah, you know, fucking fizzling spells make sense. If you wanted to fix, like, you know, Cryptic Command being countered, you know, both modes of Cryptic Command being countered, that's getting back into, like, the semantics of the fucking rules of the fucking game, which in that situation would be fine. But then in plenty of other situations, I'm sure, it would start to cause weird issues and have to kind of rework how the rules work. You follow me?
No. I don't get the difference of what your argument is as opposed to, like, what is the functionality of changing that rule if not to change what I was just talking about? Like, why would you go back and change that if it's just rewording it?
I think it's a cascade effect. The idea is to simplify a lot of things, right? Like TSG said, this is like if we went back and rebuilt the game from scratch. I assume the complexities that we're talking about now may have arisen in a different way. So
yeah, the goal is to alleviate
what does that mean? Like, if spells resolve regardless of a target,
so it would mean that like
those double mode spells, you still draw the card.
Exactly. So that's what
exactly.
I would assume,
and that's all I was bringing up.
No, and I get that. I do agree with you there, but, like, it depends on what angle you're looking at it, I think. Like, if you're looking at, like, if we start, but I, like, you know, if we started the game off like that, you know, if they're like, "Oh, well, this is how it, you know, spells don't fizzle," when the game started, that's going to, like, that would have taken a lot of the spells that we've gotten since then, you know, like Cryptic Command,
and probably changed the way the spells are designed.
Right. Exactly. Right. And so it's kind of like the time travel thing in movies. Like, you go back and you change one thing, everything else changes. So we can't really like tie something down.
What I say is, like, to me personally, like, I'm fine for like streamlining things. Like when they went back and they gave, you know, they errated cards and said, okay, this ability that they always spelled out is death touch. This ability is, you know, flying or haste or whatever else, like fear, you know, fear turned into just intimidate. Like, I like that. It didn't change the complexity of the game. It just simplified the text on the cards themselves. I personally dislike anything that would actually simplify the game. You know, I like the complexities of the what can happen in Magic. And so anything that, you know, just changes that, like, you know, taking away that ability so that way there's no fear or there's no worry about it.
Right, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, when you have Cryptic things. Command, you have to think about that. Like, should I bounce a permanent draw a card? Because if I, you know, or should I just, you know, tap everything and draw a card so that way there's no way that they can blow me out? You know, it doesn't matter if you have, you know, fucking the spell's going to resolve one way or the other. So it simplifies things. It changes, like, it takes away from what I would say, like, highly skilled players' ability to take over games and get incremental advantage, even if they have a worse deck or a worse draw. That's the way that really powerful, like, very skilled players can still beat people that have just better pulls or better draws in a game or, like, have a better position deck against them. They use those very minute plays to gain advantage to taking over the game. Mm-hmm. And anytime you simplify that, you open the door to just
dumbing down the game.
Yeah, you're dulling down the game and you are making it easier for, you know, just mediocre players to beat skilled players because they're not getting punished for
bad plays
making
or optimal plays.
Bad plays or
making mistakes.
Not even a bad play at that point. It's just a play. There's no way for them to
have a different play line.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make it lowers the amount of thought going into the game.
So speaking of, like, bad, you know, players and player, you know, the game having no thought, Lee Sharp has been put in charge of Magic Online. I don't know what that does for anything. I don't think it actually...
I mean, he hasn't been put in charge of Magic Online.
Sorry. He has a title
Before we get there, did we get through fucking TSG's whole fucking list of these things that fucking...
All the ones that Maddie cared about.
What other list? Well, tell me what else I missed. What list?
Well, and I don't think we've heard from TSG on much of any of this, like these things that Rosewater wanted to change.
You have to put yourself in the mindset where you have to go back to the beginning, and the game is being flushed out from the beginning. And with that in mind, you know, something else to talk about is what do creature types mean? And maybe it's because you guys have more of a history of playing in the more current era of the game, but for a long time, creature types were... I wouldn't say misunderstood, but not really represented properly or just kind of like haphazardly thrown together.
Yes.
And they were there since the beginning. I mean, merfolk mattered, goblins mattered, zombies kind of mattered.
You're talking about tribal.
But overarching creature types. I mean, and something that they flushed out in the 2000s, which was, you know, a creature type and then a class of the creature, you know, a human monk, a human warrior, an elf soldier, all those kind of things, like, from the beginning, you would have a better understanding of their interactions and their integration would be there, as opposed to, you know, removing Anteater from the creature list and then adding it back in and then removing it again because things need to have labels for some reason. I think there's a lot of details there that don't get answered by the current style of the game, but maybe they don't matter. You know, do they matter to you? I think creature types have an impact.
I think the current system makes a lot of sense though, doesn't it? Like type
I mean,
and class.
I think in the sense that you know, whether you go from like our type of player who's just like, yeah, well, you know, I'm playing with Gravecrawler, so the fact that this card says zombie matters to me because I can recast it from the graveyard, that matters. And then also, you know, from your casual player and your newer players that want to build a zombies deck. You know, like that creature type matters. I think it matters, you know, across the board. But like, I don't know. From like, I don't know how you would change that. Like, you know, just creature types altogether. I think they're just as well, not just as important, but like they're just as important as fucking instant and sorcery. Like, you know, it's part of the card. It matters. Like, it, you know, there are a lot of cards, especially the further we get on, there's a lot of cards that specify, you know, a fucking, like, I remember when I was playing my fucking humans deck, there were so many cards. It was like, oh god damn it, it says soldier, not human. You know, oh, this one says human soldier. Like, and that shit actually mattered with the way the deck functions, you know, and you gain fucking card advantage out of that. You know, it's like, oh, sweet. Well, this one, you know, these two cards are the same fucking thing, but this one says human on it. So this makes this card bigger. It makes this card do this. It makes this card do that. That shit matters. And, you know, back to the, like, all, oh, fuck yeah, I want to build a dragon's deck. Like, you know, when you're at the kitchen table. So I think creature types matter.
I would agree. I think it's a really important part. I think going back to the beginning of the game, I don't know if they would have foreseen how complex and how many creature types there could be, and the impact of just casually naming a card a goblin versus, holy shit, that card now has broken the goblin's deck.
It's weird to think of how broad do you need to think. If you think about Magic in Alpha, none of the cards really consider the concept that you may be playing against more than a single opponent. Like, right. Multiplayer was not part of the game or the understanding, let alone, oh shit, we better make sure not to make this thing a dwarf or that thing a wizard, or, you know, how many different creature types should there be?
Right.
You know, they didn't leave it open-ended enough. I mean, again, mistakes you want to correct from 21 years ago would be, who know, the infinite amount of players may play this game at one given time. You know, every single imaginable creature type or whatever manifestation you could think of could take place in this game. We better not put limitations on it.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's difficult for us to get in that mindset to go back that far, having not been as involved in the game as someone like Mark was at that level.
Yeah, that's
totally agree.
Alternatively, Lee is now in charge of Magic Online events, which greatly affect at least Kevi and Maddie, who still attempt to play Magic Online in some strangling capacity. You now have someone else nameable to yell at all the time about your problems. And while Lee has openly said that he is in charge of events, somehow we magically got the banned and restricted changes to take effect with Wednesday's update for Magic Online. I don't know who is in charge of that, but you'd think that the people that are the most vocal about these changes would like to take not only the positive but the negative responsibilities as well. I would imagine this is a topic that you would have a lot to say about. Well, people that use MTGO.
Not what's funny is they did that, and then you go to, I check the Bay or the new client update, and all the dual lands are fucked up. all the art and all the dual lands are single color instead of having to fade between the two colors. And you're just, literally sit there and I'm just like, how the fuck? Like, I could see Lee Sharp walks in like, alright everybody, alright, let's everybody scuttle up. We're gonna have a big game changing meeting. I want everything to go smooth. I'm tired of people picking on my ass. I don't want to hear people bad mouth and worth. Okay, here's what we got. Banned structure list. You got this. Go do it.
They're all Steve, I need you to do this right now. Drop what you're doing and fucking get the banned restricted list fucking handled. And Steve's all, but I'm working on the dual lands. He's like, I don't give a shit. You need this shit. And so he just left them where they were, just one color. And he's just all, but I was in the middle of it. He's like, I don't give a shit. We got to get this done. People are talking shit about Worth on the internet.
Yeah. That damn bug fixed with Preordain?
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, fucking Steve was working on Ponder. And he's just all, Steve, stop doing some dumb shit with a card that's been around forever. Get over here and get this fucking problem fixed. And he's like, but I'm working on Ponder. He's like, everybody knows how Ponder works, Steve. Get your ass over here and fix the bar that goes around the fucking screen and make the chat work better. Yeah. And then we have the Ponder episode.
I don't know. It's probably very close to what Kevin said. There's probably a guy, Steve.
I feel like somebody just needs to make Steve that works at Modo as a fucking Twitter handle so we all can just rail on him constantly.
Steve, what the fuck are you doing trying to fix shit?
Steve, Jesus fucking Christ. Get Like, look at you. You're over there acting like a nerd, acting like you know what you're doing. Come over here. We're having drinks.
Steve, get out of the fucking code. I'm trying to fix Moda so it doesn't crash. Fuck that shit. We got draft over here on paper cards. You gotta get over here. Here's a marker. Here's a marker. Write the name of the cards on the thing we're going to play. But Moda, we could do that.
Hey, Steve, you got post-its, right? Yeah. Write yourself a post-it note. Stick it on your fucking monitor. Fix Ponder later. We got shit to do.
Nobody plays this fucking game anyways. Oh, yeah. It's, Moto is a...
All we need is their fucking $10 to start an account. Work on the home screen.
Yes. Actually, funny enough, they did address, if you read in depth, which I just find hilarious, that in depth they read the bullet point list of what was fixed this time. They are going to finally... they are finally addressing an art issue for my 8080 brain here. 8080, ADHD, I don't know. 8080. My DDA brain.
Like walkers in Star Wars, that's AT-AT.
My AT-AT brain. The planeswalkers have never looked where they pop out of the frame correctly. They just have like the square where they shove the art behind it, and it's always looked really shitty. But they're finally going to address that. But only the 2015 and beyond planeswalkers, which, what the, again, they're like, hey, Steve, I know you did like three of them, but, you know, fuck the rest. Well, I could easily, I could actually just sit here for the next like 3 hours and fix them all. Nah, fuck that. Fuck that, man. We got favorite forge.
Steve, what is our mantra? What is our fucking mission statement? Is it in the Magic Online home store? No, fucking worry.
Exactly.
About.
And that just is, that's so crazy because, like, dude, send this shit to India. Okay, Raptal Gupta, just fix all the shit and have it to me in the morning. Like, come on. Send it to me. What needs to be done? I'll have it done in 5 minutes. I just find stuff like that.
Make them look bad though, Maddie, and they can't have that.
They make them look bad.
Yeah, they make everything they do look bad. I think I would, if they would cover my plane ticket, I would go up there and work for 1 week for free and do whatever they wanted and fix anything they wanted. That's an open invitation to anyone at Wizards. I will come up and just, as my duty to MTGO, I'll just fix anything you want. Just throw code at me, I'll rewrite it. Throw art at me, I'll fix it. But there's no way poor Steve is just sitting there crying every day that you won't let him anything.
And I don't understand why they don't do it like that. Wizards has got their big fucking Oz curtain. Yes. Like, you know, don't look at the great and powerful Oz. Like,
Steve, get away from the curtain.
The best I can come up with is, Steve, get away from the curtain. The best they can think of, they're like, I'm sorry, Maddie Studios, we regret to inform you, we can't take you up on your offer for free work, you know, because we've got concerns about you seeing what the next Chandra skateboard's going to look like and telling people about it on the internet. So
who gives a fuck?
We can't let you, we can't let you in the fucking, behind the curtain. So,
you might actually see us throwing darts at a giant board that we spin around as Steve sits there and masturbates to fucking Alesha, who comes last.
The vivid picture you have painted.
Alesha comes last.
Hey, you know what though? I don't even know what to say. Alesha comes last. That's awesome.
You got to be fucking careful. That's David's fucking favorite card.
Alesha comes first. That's the Alesha I want to hang around with.
Before this gets derailed too far, now that you have someone to actually yell at about events, and you love yelling, what would you actually like to see change about Magic Online events?
Everything.
Hey, I got one answer for this. What episode are we on right now?
I don't know. One something hundreds. We're in the hundreds.
Okay. Well, you know what? Fuck it. We'll just call it the even round number. Go listen to the first 100 episodes of Heavy Meta. Those are the things we like. And none of them have been changed yet. So that's about it. Like, we could spend a whole podcast talking about the things we'd like changed from Moto, but it's not going to do it.
Well, in all honesty, hey, let's talk. Leagues would be great. I think they're amazing. They worked really well in the beta. I don't know why the fuck they just stopped.
Leagues only work if the client works well, right.
I don't know. Look, man, yeah. You could be right, Steve. I don't know.
Do you want like fucking me and Maddie are the only person in the league because we're the only people still playing Moto? Like, that's it. No, like you gotta have the client work so people play it before you worry about getting leagues back.
I bet we could get a heavy metal league. I guarantee you, if they put leagues up, I think we could promote the shit out of it enough to get.
Heavy Metal League, two of the motherfuckers on the podcast, on the cast, wouldn't play the shit because they're not
going to David will fucking play it. Look, at me, okay, TSG will be the only one that won't play it, but we'll make them play it, and it'll all be, it'll be awesome. I think that needs to happen, and they need to get on the crashes, get the fucking system stable. I mean, it's very close. I didn't notice too much stuff the last time I was playing it, so that wasn't too bad. But get leagues going and then up the prize support. I feel like,
well, so speaking of that, don't they like, they have that like vintage Super League or what some a fail. Like they play oh that God, on
that's my favorite comment Randy about Bueller. when Lee what? Took over and people were asking him at events. It was, you spend 6 months hyping the shit out of vintage, get people to try to buy into it. Now dailies never fire all the time, but Wizards still sponsors 10 guys playing vintage all the time on Moto.
Well, what I was getting at, that is pretty funny, but what I was getting at is like, well, shit, we could just do a fuck the heavy metal league like that. Like, David's got a shit set up to stream. We could just fucking be like every week we could just play different fucking, like, I don't know, we don't have to play vintage. We could play
tiny generals. Heavy metal cast.
We'll just have heavy
tiny
meta.
Whatever
that thing is called, tiny. I don't know. It's tiny.
Tiny leaders.
Tiny leaders. Steve, get on that.
Steve, get this fucking handled.
I want all my cards to be a third the size when I play tiny.
We could just set up the heavy meta league, and it's just like fucking 1 week a cast member has to play against a different cast member. But like, since we obviously know how this is gonna work out, like fucking Maddie and I are gonna giggle about a lot of shit and scrub out, and fucking TSG and Gumby are gonna be fucking locked in this eternal battle like fucking Ugin and Bolas. We could just like fucking, we gotta put stipulations on it. You know, similar to what fucking me and Tangent used to do on our stream, where it's just like fucking, all right, this week we got to play these fucking decks that are fucking, you know, we're going to build a deck around this card from the audience.
Wait, Kevin, how awesome would it be if me and you build decks for them to pilot? They'd be, they would just be like, I don't play this fucking pile of garbage. And we just, we have to make them when we're drunk out of our fucking minds, like, blitzed.
Yeah. So, me and Maddie make the decks, they play those decks for one match, yes. And then they play their own decks for the second match. So the people that actually like Magic and want to see, you know, like, actually good Magic played, you know, can
something. Like they can just, why is there 8 Tassigers in this deck? I don't understand. How did they even do this? Steve, just code that up so we
Steve, can... Yeah, just blame it on Steve. Yeah. We're just all Steve. There's only to be 4. Goddamn
Steve,
it.
I want 24 Tassigers in this deck and 8 Treasure Cruises. Let's do this.
We need to find out if there's anybody at Wizards named Steve.
By the way, huge, and I'm not talking little. I'm talking huge.
Like Olivia Fulton Boner,
yes,
shout out
to fucking Stevie. Stevie, sup Stevie? That's it. Oh man, where are you, bro?
Is he the one that sent in that fucking edited?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that was another guy. But subs.
No, you met. Stevie, Stub Stevie, David.
I know who Stevie is. Okay. I remember Stevie from Vegas.
Yeah.
I was just saying, I'm not sure who sent in that edited edited version of our cast.
Oh yeah, that, yeah. We'll get to that maybe in the special after segment. I'm not sure.
Outro music.
Yeah, maybe that'll just be the outro.
I feel like that was much nicer than it could have been.
Oh yeah. That...
Oh yeah, I was expecting something far more vulgar.
Oh man, they could have made something very, very, very bad for you.
Oh god.
Had young boys and dicks on demand
I feel like whoever did that left you two alone and just fucking stuffed it in me and Maddie.
Well, we had the
sounds of it, you guys are stuffing it in each other.
We did dudes. Have the best lines, so I can't
Yeah, Dicks on Demand and Young Boys in College were seemed like prime editing material.
Yeah,
there.
Thirst Knowledge sent that to us from your friends at T4K Podcast. They edited our last episode to the highlights, I would suppose. But
yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember saying those things. I don't know how that happened, but they must have cut the words and jammed everything together. But it's
just made words and put words in.
But I did laugh my ass off. It was quite funny.
Just put dicks in all of our mouths is basically how it went.
Pretty much. They didn't have to try very hard for that one, for sure.
Didn't try hard.
But speaking of dicks, apparently the A-team is throwing the gauntlet down. apparently we're all bad at Magic, or at least me and Kevin are the worst. And
Scott, from this whole thing is that me and you are fucking the worst at Magic, which is probably fair.
Probably
they don't know how TSG rolls. And David, Scotty was just all, you know, David's fucking good. like they couldn't say shit about David and other than like, oh yeah, they went out and got some ringers for this one. Because we have TSG and we have David on our fucking team now. This is exactly why we got them on the cast. I wanted to just, you know, finally bring this up to them. We've been telling them for, you know, quite a long time now that, like, you know, we want you guys for, you know, your knowledge and your podcast presence and stuff like that. But really what it comes down to is we have to crush the A-team in Vegas at playing Magic. And Maddie and I cannot run this ship by ourselves. Yeah. And I say ship because I can't even use Treasure Cruise anymore. So
our best asset away.
We had to get TSG and David to crush these fuckers. Jeremy Schofield brought up a good point. Like, one of us, like, needs to do commentary. Like, one member of the cast needs to do commentary, and I feel like I would probably just serve us all better by doing commentary than playing Magic. I feel like me and fucking somebody else from the A-team in the booth would behoove us.
You gotta get Ruben Bresler. He'll be there.
I'm just gonna bring your breakers down. That's all.
No, you gotta play. I think what we need in terms of formats, I think we should have four formats, and you know, we all play head to head. Like a cube draft sounds obvious. That's gonna happen, right?
I think that the way we need to do this is like each fucking different round or different format, one of us drops out from each cast and actually sits in the booth. So at one point you got
that's a good idea.
ESG,
okay.
And doing commentary. And then like next round, fucking David and fucking Schofield are doing fucking commentary, watching fucking idiot Kevin play and just going, oh Jesus Christ.
Jesus
you
Christ.
You know,
actually I like that. Okay, there you go. So one member, yeah. Okay, well there you go.
Together,
we can do that.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea. But yes, we need multiple formats. We've talked about this a little bit before, but I mean, you know, there's obviously got to be some cube going on.
Modern has to be one, and then draft. Like I think we go cube.
Karaoke should be a format.
No. We'll all lose. Scotty wins. That's not fair. That's not fair. But I think we go cube, modern.
Fucker, I'm a winner when it comes to that shit.
Well. We just have there has to be an odd number because there's four members and we can't have four events.
Why?
It's got to be a five event.
Because
then
have
there's a potential for a
but
tie.
Every round the bottom two get knocked
or,
out.
Or we could do that and then if it's a tie we fight.
Yeah, well that's great. Then we win. Then we win.
Well, now you're just stacking the deck, which I don't think is fair.
Yeah, now we're completely all right,
fine. Physical violence at the end. We got this. That's not a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Event number five, cage match. Go.
Yeah, like I feel like if I won two rounds, I would sacrifice the other two so I could fight them.
So like,
yeah, exactly. Like, hey, you want to split? You want a fucking prize split here?
So like Modern Masters, two drafts, standard, modern, cube, and what's the fifth format?
I don't know. What's the hardest format out there?
Like Booze Cube, come on!
Oh, there you go, Booze Cube.
Yeah, we got.
I think Booze is that fair?
Modern.
I don't know. I don't think that. I mean, we don't. We're trying to be impartial here. We don't want to stoop
tiny
to
leaders.
A level of
you win, A team. We lose.
Tiny general.
I don't want to play this format. You win.
Yeah, where's the like where's the giant truck? Like, where's the guy with the small penis version of that? Where's giant leaders? Like, you can't play spells that cost under 7.
Don't say that. You're encouraging them. They'll make that format. That'll be a real thing.
I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, nerds have a hard enough time in the real world. And when people overhear you be like, hey, you want to battle with my white weenie? No, I'd rather play with tiny leaders. All right, let's go do that.
Like, hey, by the way, like, we need to, Maddie, I need you to edit out all the times we've said tiny leaders because apparently those guys are trademarking that shit.
Oh, God. You know what? There's going to be the new commander set will be like, hey, we shrunk all the cards by 50%. They're all foiled. Like, some dumb shit. Anyways, so seriously, let's set this. I think we do cube, modern, standard is fine, and modern masters. Now, what is the final?
Perhaps it should be opened up to a community vote.
All right, that's fair enough. Oh. Or, in all honesty, we should just have cube be the last.
Cube is fair to count
for double. Cube should really just count for double.
Well, then they're gonna say that that's cheating because you have.
All right, we'll open it up to
people. What do you guys want to see the last two players play for the cup? That's essentially what that last round will be. So I don't know. That's a tough one. Maybe we have a wheel, we spin it.
I gotta disagree altogether. I feel like we instead of like players dropping off each round kind of thing. Like, oh, wait, sweet, we're drafting for the first fucking round. Draft the Modern Masters, then like, all right, I'm out. And I don't get to play
Modern.
Well,
you can't. You're not allowed to drop that. You got to fucking battle, man.
Well, no, what you were talking about, like a fucking system where, like, you know, we'll get down to the last round, which is the last two players left. Fuck that. No, we play all, you know, we do five different events. We all play them. Or, you know, maybe we, you know, fucking three members of each cast at a time and somebody's in the booth, whatever we do, but we all play all the fucking events, and each fucking podcast that does better than the other gets the win for that event.
I think that's fair. Say we're drafting
and fucking
With that is then you can have two and
yeah
two
we need a tiebreaker.
Well, that's why we have five
that's
events.
Where we fight
that's where we have five events. It was like,
all right, well, let's do five events. That's fine.
Yeah, to me, we've picked four of them, and assuming the A-team doesn't have a problem with any of them, we have four.
Hey, I say the last one has to be something like the last... Okay, so we do the fucking four events. If there's a fucking tie, we go to fucking Jello wrestling.
No, be serious. So, like, here's the thing. If
two people...
God damn it, Kevin.
I love what TSG has said. So here's the thing. So we can't have another constructive event because that's asking people to build like three constructed formats. So two draft formats, two constructed. I think the final one has to be a draft type of format. Or,
right,
or what about sealed? No, I got it.
There's a fine.
No, I got it. It's chaos sealed. There.
No, what you're saying is like if we gotta have a fucking a fifth
I'll
event.
Casually crush it. That I like it.
Okay, then draw dicks on for me? Anti league.
Oh, conspiracy draft. We can play conspiracy draft.
Oh no.
There you go. The final event. So you gotta do. You gotta do it like the world.
That would just turn into a sealed play or like a draft two-headed giant.
Yeah, which would be.
You have to have like four people in a pod. And then it's going to obviously be two-on-two, heavy meta versus fucking the A-team.
Unless there's, like, three heavy meta members left and one A-team member left.
Well, no, like, conspiracy break into pods of four.
He thinks he's going to be loaded. He keeps being like, well, you know, if somebody isn't playing anymore for whatever the reason is, I'm not saying there's a reason.
If somebody's just gone, like...
I'm not saying someone stopped playing, but if someone was to stop playing...
I'm going there to win this motherfucker. Like, I'm not going to GP Vegas to win fucking GP Vegas because I know I'm not going to. But I also know that Vegas and Portland, I didn't play shit in the main event and I didn't really play much fucking Magic. I'm going to this motherfucker to wreck fools in Magic.
I love what you had to say. In Magic.
Yeah. I'm just start punching motherfuckers.
All right, so it's still January. This is not until the end of May. We have gotten four formats securely locked down without even talking to the other show that we're challenging.
I don't know how secure that is because I don't even remember what four formats those are, and we're talking about it now.
You will. When you re-listen to this, you will know. I think that between now and May, we could poll the community on what they would like to see as a final format. I wouldn't be at all surprised if it ends up being some kind of Chaos Sealed or Conspiracy Draft sounds good. Preferably Magic related. I don't want there to anybody any physical challenge complaints. We did not go through the Double Dare system in order to get to that level. So let's try to keep it to Magic related things. But between, you know, start your engines now. If you have ideas of what we should be playing when we get to Vegas against the dreaded A-Team, the powerhouse of Pro Tour events that is their cast, please do let us know.
I'm calling it right now. It's Thunderdome. It's a new format I just made up. We're going to take your cube and we're going to stack it vertically. Everybody gets fucking 20 basic lands of different colors and you get to just, everybody draws off the top.
I actually think that's awesome.
You play one fucking land a turn. Doesn't matter what color. You got all the colors in your fucking hand. You just play one land a turn and then you fucking draw off the top. Just call it Thunderdome.
Actually, why don't we make this a triple battle and we get limited resources in here, LSV and Marshall.
Because they're not going to come to our house. They know better. They've already heard.
We lie. You fucking lie to them.
Elaine won't even come to our parties anymore. She's very social.
Yeah, well, we could lie to her, too. Let's just fucking lie to everybody. Let's trick everyone, get them in a big room.
That's a good way to do it.
All right, that's true. Fine, fuck it.
Actually, you got a good point, Maddie. We can lie to all of them, and we can talk about lying to them because they don't listen to our podcast. They just see the fucking army of people that show up that are friends with us. And so they're like, it seems like a good party to go to, and like they don't know that we're lying to them and that we're going to be playing Thunderdome Cube.
Actually, you know what would be awesome? How about like a horde? How about this? The final battle, you have to play the SVU.
They don't have an equivalent.
I don't know how that works. That's up to them. They got to figure that out.
It's like, here's Jay Bush playing a constructed deck against like 35, 40
yeah,
fucking.
He's got to play five.
They're all talking back. It was to do this.
La 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 la. All right, so let's put a pin in
that one.
Let's put a pin,
and we'll get back to the format. Vote Thunderdome. Hashtag vote Thunderdome. And let's move on to our next topic. There's a segue for
that,
you.
That was as good as the one fucking that has two wheels and rolls around in batteries. So it's time. It is time for the whole of Twitter's. This is time for the whole of the Twitters. Let's take a deep dive into the dirty hole.
Dip, dive, dodge, and duck.
Okay, so Evil KYT says Vegas happened, and you wake up to an unknown dead body in the Vegas house with no recollection of what happened. What do you do?
Walk away.
How do you walk away? Okay, you can't walk away. Like, in the house, there's a dead body. You can't just all say, fuck it, split. And it's not like Oakland and just dust the prints off and wipe.
Last person there is fuck. Like, just run.
Some guy's like in the fridge making a pastrami sandwich.
See, man, if I wake up, there's like if I did it, there's a good chance that, you know, somebody knows. And if I wake up, there's dead body in the house and I run, like, they're like, it was Kevin Metal. Like, here's where you can find him. Like, he posts pictures of himself all over the internet. We know where he lives. It's in Ridgecrest. It's not a podcast. So I'm going to fucking have to atone for this shit if I'm the one that killed whoever's dead. But if I wake up and there's a dead body that I had nothing to do with, run. Somebody else can know.
The truth is, you know what? Poor Steve from Magic Online probably came over that night, got really drunk. You got him all wasted. He slipped, hit his head on the fucking counter. He died.
How rad would it be if we could convince the authorities that fucking Steve from Magic Online did this? No. And, like, he's got a Twitter account and everything. Like, fucking, like, look, he's a real person.
The sad thing is, the next morning, you'd be running away, driving, thinking you got away. And then on Twitter, all the pictures of you, like, you know, fucking him and, like, posting, drinking, cracking off his head. Or, like, you know, you putting dick markers on his forehead. And he's obviously bleeding out, like, his head's open. But
I like the first thing Maddie goes to is not, like, drawing dicks on his face. It's fucking tricky. It's just all, you fucking him.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, you guys probably play games with him.
I don't know what you people do when you're drinking and having a good time, but I assume you guys are fucking each other.
I don't know, the ping pong balls came out and all of a sudden shit got weird.
Hotel room, because I just assume every time you guys get drunk together, you start fucking each other. And I don't part of it. And I, if you guys just get drunk and have a good time, I'd be staying in the house.
Poor Steve. Poor Steve has no idea what he's in for.
I mean, if he's a Magic Online tech like you say is, he'll probably start drinking heavily, and then you're gonna start ripping into him for how terrible of a platform it is, and he'll probably kill himself with alcohol poisoning.
Man, I've been hanging out at Card Kingdom all day reading these tweets from fucking Maddie. I don't even want to go back to work. I'm just gonna get drunk and play Magic instead.
The inconvenience.
Oh, it'd be so bad if he's sitting there in the house with a little laptop playing Magic Online too.
We need a Magic documentary called The Inconvenient Truth, and it's just a bunch of fucking clips from people playing Magic Online.
That's awesome. All right, let's go to question number two. Could the Pro Tour...
Wait, don't finish that. What are Dave Kristen going to do when they wake up to a dead body?
What are you guys going to do?
I told you already. I'm sticking with my A plan.
Which was?
Run.
Walk away.
Yeah, that's not a plan.
Well, I said run away. It was like the same
thing.
That's
like getting a monster truck to kill zombies. Yeah, that's a weak answer.
Because I'm running and Tristan's walking away. Like, when the cops come screeching up into the fucking cul-de-sac, I'm in the desert because I ran, and Tristan's walking, and they're just all, you did it, you son of a bitch, and I'm out. Like, I'm done. I'm running. So... But Tristan and I have the same idea. I feel like you need to up your game, Tristan. You need to run.
That makes you look guilty. Don't do that.
Why are there two guys running into the desert? I don't know.
Shot. Tristan's walking out. Like, I've got this all planned out in my head. Tristan's walking out of the fucking house.
He's walking away, and fucking Kevy's running into the desert, pointing at him. He fucking did it. He's closer.
And I'm running like hell, and they're just all, yeah, that's probably him. It's the Vegas cops. They're going to shoot me in the desert. And fucking, they're just all, he ain't going nowhere now. And Tristan's like, thank God, because I'm the one that killed Steve the hooker.
Now he's a hooker. Oh, man, Steve. What are you done to? Why did we ever bring Steve into this? All right, Gumby, are you wrestling this guy first or what?
Well, that's probably how he died, let's be honest.
He probably tried to put his dick around your wrist, right?
We need to get David out of the house fast, because fucking David's a lethal weapon.
Yeah. Steve is probably like, hey, man, I've had a couple drinks. He takes his dick out. He's like, where's Gumby? Where's Gumby? And we're like, oh, fuck. Get out.
It's just become, because the question was just, there's a dead body and you don't know anything about it, but somehow it's become, because we all want to kill Steve, because he keeps fucking Magic Online up. Now it's just Steve is the dead body.
Steve is the dead body, and if I woke up and there's a dead body near me, I'm going to go ahead and assume that I probably killed him. So, yeah, I'm going to probably, you know, depending on the situation, hide the body in a rug. Take it out and put it in the trunk. You know, the usual. Take it out to somewhere in the desert in Vegas. Bury it. You know.
I mean.
hey, David, what are you doing?
Very bad things.
I'm going to sell some cards. I got a lot of cards. You guys heard the episode. I pulled a bunch of shit. They're all in this rug. I'm going to the car, and I'm putting it in the trunk, and I'm taking them to the van site, and I'm going to go sell them.
They're like, hey, where's Steve? We saw you go into the room with him. He's still asleep. I'll see you later.
Laptop, he's working on Ponder.
Yeah, just leave him be, guys. He's almost got this MTGO thing fixed.
Still doing at work fixing MTGO.
Just put some sunglasses.
Yeah, hey, know that he's fixing Ponder right now.
Weekend at Steve's. Yeah.
We just put some sunglasses on him and stick him in a corner. Sleep him alone, man. He's going to have magic fixing for 5 minutes. Hey, Steve, you thirsty? It just falls over. Oh, shit. Steve stinks. Yeah, poor Steve. I don't know why he came to this house. Steve, don't come to the house.
Steve, don't come to the house. It's a bad idea. Don't come to the house.
Twitter hole from the janitor, who is, I believe, a new follower. I've never heard a Twitter question from the janitor. S-P-E-P Uden? Sep-Uden?
It was Puddin earlier today. S-P-E-Puddin.
Yeah, I thought it was Puddin. So he asks, in...
Puddin? I love jello puddin.
I don't know if it's Cos.
He's probably getting a lot of flack from the backlash from all of the Cosby shit.
It might be the Cos. In 3 days, the Earth will explode due to a dark planet hitting it. Wow. This guy went deep. How do you spend your last 3 days alive?
Fucking, drinking, fighting.
Poor Steve. You fuck Steve. Then you fight Steve. Then you kill Steve. All right. 3 days done. Let's do this.
Yeah. It's just pouring whiskey down his throat, punch him in the face a bunch, and then bang him. I'm all right. Oh, we're good.
Sounds like Kevin's typical
Where's
day.
This dark planet?
Yeah, basically. No, I'm going to spend it fucking drinking and fighting. Well, no, I'm going to spend it fucking drinking and eating. I'm not going to be fighting people because, I mean, what the fuck is the point? We're all going to die anyway. So I'm going to be fucking drinking and eating, like, fucking batter-covered deep-fried cheeseburgers.
That sounds fucking good, man. What about you, Gumby?
Yeah, like, definitely a lot of fucking going on, a lot of eating. And then I probably will go around and murder a few of the people that I have to
Why not?
Enjoy the last days. No, fuck him.
I love. He's like, Steve, I need to speak to you. Yeah. Oh, I don't know, man.
I'm not gonna name.
Fucking Gumby's out murdering people and shit. Turns out Steve also has a job at the news agency and he's just fucking that up too. He's like, oh wait, no, sorry, that's a comet, and you can look at it through your telescope. Not, it's gonna fucking hit the world and we're all gonna die. And so David's just been shanking fools left and right, snapping necks. He's like, yeah, we're all gonna die. But Steve fucked it up for us.
How bad would it be if it's like that? What's that movie, The Mist? Where we like, we all at the house, we kill everyone, and Kevin kills everybody. He's like, oh, we're all gonna die anyways. Yeah. And then he's like, oh man, it really wasn't. It was just the shadow.
Wait,
of the moon.
We're not all.
Oh, fuck. I just killed the entire MTG podcast community.
Oh,
man.
I didn't say I was going to kill a lot of people, just a select few that I think that don't deserve the right to enjoy the last fucking...
People that deserve to be murdered.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there that I would kill if I could, you know, get away with it.
Yeah.
If I didn't have to go to jail forever. So, you know, knowing that there's only 3 days left, yeah, fuck them. They're done.
What about you, TSG?
Well, I initially was thinking something along the lines of, like, Mexican space program. But then when I realized...
what is the Mexican space program? Is that where they just, like... Is that where they...
It's a poppet.
Oh, is it? Because I thought that...
It's a poppet.
Isn't that where they strap a couple cans of gasoline on an old VW bug and light it? No?
Oh, God, we're getting racist again.
No, it's a poppet.
I think he means, like, abandoning to a different planet.
Oh, I thought it was just cross the border.
I realized I wasn't avoiding something that would happen to Earth and then be able to come back to Earth. It was... there was going to be no more Earth. So because of that, I kind of had to change my viewpoints. I feel that if everyone knew this was coming, it would kind of put a damper on most people's activities. Because it's like, well, I mean, I could run up, you know, $40,000
like, traffic's gonna be a bit.
3 days, no problem. What would you say?
I said, well, traffic's going to be a bit.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Traffic Maybe. Will be fucked.
I would think, like, plane jackings would be way more of a bitch.
Yeah, that kind of counts as traffic.
What are you gonna do there? Are you gonna glutton yourself? Are you gonna hedonistically go out in a banging? Dudes?
I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like if I just stayed home and banged all day, I would regret not seeing more of the Earth.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? I would want to, like, be able to see
you
something.
You want to see what's about to be destroyed instead of have glorious orgasms all day?
I guess steal a plane. I would steal a plane.
Wow, a plane? Do you know to fly a plane? Or would you just steal it and just, I mean, like...
What am I going to do? Accidentally
kill
myself?
What would you do? Like, just sit on the runway and lock the doors? I got it. It's mine, bitches. I'd be eating peanuts and little beers. No.
Assuming all the satellites hadn't been down, I'd be Googling the shit out of figuring out how to fly a plane.
Oh, God. How bad would it be if Google tells you exactly how to fly a plane? I think on the last day, I'd want to, you know, after you banged your orgasms out, I guess, climb to the highest mountain where the fucking asteroid's about to hit and then, like, battle fucking mountain bears and, you know, volcano
bears.
Goats or something and just, like, fight them until the apocalypse comes, you know. Let's go, motherfuckers! I don't know. It's kind of a downer. I feel kind of depressed after a while that the whole planet was going to die.
After about 70 hours?
Well, see, you know, 3 days is a lot of time to contemplate. That's the sad thing. If you'd give me 3 hours, okay, then it's like, let's just go fucking crazy, but 3 days. I figure you burn out after about 18 to 20 hours, and then you're just like, all right, now I'm feeling depressed that we're going to die. Thanks, Puddin. You just fucking killed the twirl. All right. We're going on. We're moving down. We are going down. Matt Hansen, Manadork, says, would you rather pee every time you stood up or shit every time you sat down? Oh, man, that's one of them Chinese puzzles.
I think I'd just rather shit every time I sit down.
I mean, there are walking, like, chairs now.
Well, I would stand, you know, at work and do stuff, and then at home I could just lie down, you know, if I wanted to. Like, I could make lying down instead of sitting down a thing.
That's true, but if you fucked up and you accidentally sit for just a half a second as you were getting into bed, it wouldn't work. Like, you'd have to be, like, jump in the air.
I mean, I don't know about other people, but I wouldn't forget the fact that every time I sit down, I shit my pants. So
I would just wear a diaper.
It ain't happening.
Just wear a diaper and it's all good. Who gives a shit? Stand, sit.
You give a shit, right into your diaper.
Well, I assume that you would get used to it. But I believe I would rather pee. I'm not sure. No, that's not...
I mean, if you're going to go the diaper route, then yeah, I guess you can just pee all the time.
I mean,
and then
is it a consistent, is this like a magical disease where like I consistently pee? So if I'm...
It says every time you stand up,
yeah,
you
but do
pee.
I keep peeing or is it just like a burst of pee and then I stop?
I'm sure it's just probably peeing.
Like what
you
I
know,
have?
Whatever you
have. All right, well, then I could just easily deprive, yeah, I could deprive myself of liquids. I could deal with that.
Just put a catheter in.
You want to know what's happening.
that wasn't a conversation to walk in on.
Yeah, sorry. I had to go. I had to run in. I was all, oh, cool. They're giving their answers. I got to run in real quick and put out a fire because my kid's being an asshole and won't listen to his mom. So I was like, okay, I got this. I ran inside real quick. And I came back out and I was like,
this
doesn't sound like Steve, like having issues with, like, you know, us killing anybody or like a planet coming to this. Now we're standing up and peeing ourselves.
Put out a fire. People assume that you mean a real fire.
Yeah, it's true. It's a theoretical fire. I realize that, you know, yeah, like when I talk about fire, there's a good chance there's a fire going on in my house. But I mean, if you think about it logically, not like I'm outside. Like I'm out here talking to you guys. So if there's gonna be a fire going on in my house,
hey,
it's
Brody is your kid.
I mean, that's true. He is my son. I had to put out a fire. Oh, because my kid likes to play with matches, and I. No, he's just being a fucking cunt right now, and I had to go fix that. So I came back in.
He's being a cunt.
All right, Kevy, you have to make this decision.
Okay.
Would you rather pee every time you stood up or shit every time you sat down?
Pee every time I stood up, hands down, in the dark, not close. I got no problem peeing myself if I have to. I'd much rather do that than shit myself ever.
Well, see that, and I answer differently because I would just not sit down. I would either just stand up or lie down. I
think your legs would get tired.
Yeah, I get you there. You loophole technicality. You could just be like, "Oh, whoop! I'm gonna lie down." But like, when you lay down on your bed, don't you sit down and then, like,
that's what,
you know,
I said.
Getting up would be the harder part. Laying down, I could just jump and lie down.
Well, yeah, you'd have to. And, like, well, like, God forbid you're camping or something, and all you've got is, like, the ground and your sleeping bag.
I do that shit all the time in training, like, falling and hitting the ground and, you know, whatnot. But it's the getting up that would be the harder part. Like, you'd have to, like, do a push-up and have something near that you can, you know, walk up the wall. I feel like I could do that, and I would much rather just avoid excreting my waste all over me in any way, shape, or form. So that's why I chose that.
I feel like if I had to pee myself, I'd be like, oh, all right, whatever. You know, it's fucking, you know, it's mostly water and alcohol anyway. And also, I feel like if that was like a condition that I had, I'd wear my dick on my outside of my pants most of the time. Like, you know, and not have an excuse for it.
I just get disability and stay at home and piss myself.
Like, literally, like, I just fucking, I mean, that's what the fucking dick pocket is in your underwear. You know, you just pop through that, you pop through your zipper, you have your cock out all the time, and people are like, oh my God, you got your cock out. I'm like, I have a fucking disability, lady. Leave me the fuck alone. You are an asshole for getting on me because I have a disability. And it's just because I pee myself all the time and I have to keep my cock out.
You know, what's funny, I saw a guy who had this condition where he had a tube inserted into his penis and he wrapped it around the outside of his leg to look like jewelry.
That's not a condition.
That's
nobody's born with a tube in their penis.
I'm aware, but like Madonna,
this condition is fucking jewelry tube
like Madonna, who had goldfish in her high heels. I think there's a way to, like, have this nice tube around one of your legs and then, like, occasionally just, like, fills up with amber liquid, and, like, people are like, wow, that's cool, what is that? And then you're like, oh well, let me tell you a story.
I like how you're trying to accessorize your fucking
Oh well, yeah, like if you got like a condition like that, like,
it's better than having a glass bowl on my ass that occasionally explodes with diarrhea.
Doesn't have to be a bowl. Like, I mean, shit. Like, you know, if you're going David's direction, where just in case he has to sit down and shit, the dude just wears a fucking gold studded diaper. He's just all, yeah, I'm accessorizing.
I'm accessorizing.
Yeah. Does have to sit down if he's running a long time, or maybe he forgets and he just sits down real quick. He's like, oh, God damn it. And, you know, somebody pulls out a nice comfy chair and he wants to test it out. At least he's got his gold diaper to shit into.
What about you?
I don't like shit. I would much rather deal with pee than
I'm in
shit.
The pee camp. What about you, TSG?
I think urine is much easier to deal with. Regardless of quantity. I mean, this feels like a no-brainer one. I feel like you're really trying to make it difficult by being like, yeah, every time I sit down, which is at minimum like four times a day, I'm just going to shit.
Oh, no. Hey, you're I sit down a lot more than you do.
I said the minimum.
I sit constantly. I sit whenever.
I mean, are you like stand up, sit down, or you mean like hours spent sitting or high?
No, up and down, up and down, up and down. Like, I, you know, I don't have the time. Like, I can't be sitting around all day. It's not like I get to the office and I sit down in my chair and then I'm there till lunch. No, I sit down at every possible opportunity I can because I'm on my feet all fucking day. So I sit the fuck down whenever I get a chance to. And I'd be shitting myself all the time. I'd rather piss myself when I stand back up or, you know, just piss out my, like, you know, I could have jewelry going on, like Maddie was talking about. Like, I just fucking, you know, learn to roll with a ladder that, you know, runs down my leg.
It accessorizes your incontinence.
Down my leg and has diamonds on it and shit.
I think that's the way to go. I think that's just the common sense approach from that one.
I mean, I guess that's the common sense approach if you're just like, fuck it, I am going to just guarantee that I am going to shit or piss myself because I'm not going to problem solve.
Yeah, I like David's approach on it because David didn't think, like, I'm going to just do this. David's like, no, I will fucking stiff board my way up a wall to stand back up. And then I will fire my feet out from underneath me and come down, crash it on my back so that I don't have to shit or piss on myself. He sacrificed the rest of his body to not have excrement on him.
You know what's interesting about doing it that way? That when you did sit down to take a shit, it's just like you would never be incontinent. You'd always just...
Well, no. Incontinence is when you can't stop it. You would never be constipated.
All right, there you go. Well, you would always feel like when you actually did sit down on the toilet, you'd be like, I'm just going to stay here for a while. And like I could see him putting a TV in there and shit.
You go ahead. Down and take your dump, like guaranteed you're not gonna be in there fucking, you know,
like correct me if I'm wrong, David, don't you like, you know, you analyze video and shit like that, like you sit down at a fucking desk chair quite a bit, don't you?
Yes, I do. I sit at
and they have these neat fucking things for camping where you just slap a toilet seat on top of a fucking Home Depot bucket so you
that the guys in my office would be terrified of me, but yeah, I would do that.
Yeah, I mean, why not? If you got the condition, like, I mean, it's just the same as having fucking pee jewelry down your leg. You might as well just fucking have, like, you might as well just have a shit bucket on your fucking desk chair. You sit down and you're just like, right on, man. I don't have to get back up for a while.
Honestly, I would just finagle my way into being able to work at home, and then I would get one of those, like, lazy boys that has, like, a fucking toilet to it.
Well, I mean, and you only got to do it once. You sit down, you're fucking, you're chill, you're relaxed, you're fucking good.
Exactly.
Oh, you know what would be even better? Speaking of a lazy boy, you just get a better spring in that thing so that, like, you know, maybe you shit when you lay, when you sit down, but then you just fucking pull the lever when you want to, like, unrecline and stand back up from your laying position, and it just goes boink and fires you straight up to standing position, and you don't even have to do sit in the middle.
Wow. Well, speaking of a really shitty question, MTG Finance Central hits us with a question. Magic is an inclusive culture, so why is MTG Finance so negative and cliquey? Hashtag no trolls, live the dream.
Because motherfucker, pay money and shit.
Human greed is your answer on that one.
Yeah, we can all get along. You know, you can play blue decks, I can play red decks, and fucking we can still get along because we love Magic. But when it's just like, hey, how much you want for that card? Fuck you, I ain't paying that fucking money. Like, when it comes down to green, well, not green. When it comes down to the monies, I don't know what you guys have in Canada, like fucking purple notes or something.
It's Monopoly
money. But when it comes to when it comes down to money, people don't want to fuck around. People don't want to be friends.
It's true.
So I think that's the Magic community, like, in all honesty, like, jokes aside, I think that's why the finance community is, like, all weird, clicky, and people can be assholes sometimes. And not all of them, you know. Like, shit, we call Jason Alden asshole. I call Jason Alden asshole all the time, but I actually like the guy. He's a great fucking dude. But it's one of those things where, like, when you get into the finance side of things, it gets really bitter because people get fucking feisty with
their
money.
Yeah, it's because it's their career. Like, I think the difference is that people who do MTG Finance for a living, if it was my living, then, yeah, I'm going to be very protective because that's how I'm feeding my family. So I think it's a weird scenario where, you know, I'm trying to play this game for fun and you're trying to make a living, so you have a very different view of how to make money out of the game, and I'm just trying to have fun, so we're at odds. And I think MTG Finance is a bit of that, and then it's a bit of people who are like, hey, you're making money, I don't want to lose out, and they're on this bandwagon of just trying to get in on it, and it's greed, right? There's a buck to be made, people are going to make it, so
yeah. There is, and like, to be fair, like, to be fair though, they're, you know, they're just like, you know, the Magic playing community, you know, there are different fucking levels to it, or there are different fucking different types of people in it. Like, I stereotypically, the finance community can be a bit more of, you know, for lack of a better term, some assholes, but that's not always the case, you know. Like, I mean, we have fucking cunts in the fucking Magic playing community too. We got fucking cheaters, we got fucking, it has nothing to do with finance, we got people that fucking cheat at the game that we're all trying to have fun fucking playing. We have people that are fucking ridiculous on one end of things, people that are ridiculous on the other end of things, and, you know, then you kind of fall in the middle. You got, like, the guys from Brainstorm Brew, you know, speaking about Jason Alt, but, you know, also fucking Corbin, Ryan, and fucking our fucking boy Marcel, like, they're kind of middle of the road. Like, yeah, you know, this is fucking serious shit to them. Like, finance, like, Magic Finance is a big fucking deal to them. They have a fucking very lucrative podcast about it. And, you know, a couple of them, this is what they do for a living. I think two of them, this is what they do for a living. Because we know Jason's not an actual comedian. And so, like, it's...
Oh, Lord.
I love Jason. No, but, like, I you know, from what I do, like, you know, Ryan and fucking Jason, kind of, that's what they do. And, you know, Corbin fucking does his, Corbin writes and stuff, you know, Marcel's got his fucking job. But they're all fucking great about it, because they're the people that are like, here, we're going to do a podcast about how you can, you know, the cards you should buy. They're like, they're sharing the information. They're putting it out there for people to, you know, as much as I talk shit about Jason, like, he's one of the first that'll, like, give you fucking Magic Finance advice. He's not one of those people that's like, hey man, fuck you, I just want to make the most money I can and fuck you over in the process, and I don't want to give you any of my secrets. You hit the dude up on Twitter and be like, is this card fucking worth buying into? He's like, yeah, or no, or this is why. And, you know, you've got good people in every aspect of the Magic community, and you've got shitty people in every aspect of the Magic community. Yes, you know, finance is no different. It just looks different, because I think the more prominent, you know, people in the finance, or not in what people hear about Magic Finance is usually negative, but it's not all bad.
I think people have to remember too that when you hype a card, if you're invested in that card, you're financially incentivized to not necessarily lie, but maybe lie, right? Like, boost its numbers, talk great, because hey, then more people jump on, and then you sell it out to them, right? And that's kind of,
well,
like,
yeah, of course, but that's just like, but again, it's just like anything else. Like, you know, if you're fucking investing, not financially, but like, if you're invested in a deck, listen to how I talk about a burn deck. I mean, like, sure. If you really broke it down and you just get the fucking information, like, I mean, you know, a control deck is just as good as my burn deck, or better, or whatever, but I will fucking advocate everybody pick up a fucking play set of lightning bolts and fucking start burning people in the face, because that's what I love. And that's what I love to do.
But you're
when
not
it comes
financially
to magic.
Incentivized to tell people that.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. But I, like, my heart's in it. So, of course, when you're just all, should I play blue cards? I'm like, fuck. No, blue cards are stupid because of this. Same thing with the fucking finance community. They'd be like, no, don't pick that card up, that's stupid. Or pick this card up because that's a fucking good idea. And it's just like what you are interested in. It's just the finance community gets a bad fucking rap because, you know, money's on the line, and people are fucking assholes about it.
Well, what,
like,
does TSG think? Because he's got the most experience.
Poker side of things. Go to the poker side of things. It's how nice people are to you when you fucking sit down at a fucking poker table.
Right, exactly.
Nobody's gonna
That's
be
what I'm saying.
You like sit down at a fucking magic table, and people are fucking cool. Like, you know, like, when you finance gets involved, people are exactly. assholes. But the magic finance people aren't nearly as bad as they could be.
Wow, there's a rant.
That's not exactly a shining recommendation. Like, I like how your bullet point presentation ends in, well, they could be bigger dicks. So
that's a heavy meta statement right there.
Yeah, they could be bigger dicks.
You just think about it logically. As soon as becoming becomes popular, it becomes valuable, and as soon as becoming becomes valuable, people are going to buy and sell it, and money becomes involved. Everything that's fun about Magic is everything that doesn't have to do with the money part of Magic. Playing the game of Magic, drafting, just like the act of collecting when you remove the monetary values, that's the fun. That's the game. That's what transcends age, and obviously transcends income bracket and all these other things, and we could all bond around. As soon as you include the finance aspect, then it's actually really a business, and people respond to that in varying different ways. I mean, people like Jason Ollick could become bitter that the thing that they loved as a game is now driving them financially, and they have to view differently. People can become shrewd businessmen that can kind of take advantage of people that still only see the game side. And some of those people that were taken advantage of become very vocal and mad that the thing that they just loved as a game somehow turned into this business thing that they were kind of violated over. And that's really rough for this. And that's why Wizards take this huge stance being like, we have nothing to do with the secondary market. They'll say it over and over and over again because they never want to get caught in the middle of the time that somebody mentally rapes you over a magic card. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, we're not going to highlight, oh, I love trading with this person. We had a great experience. We both got what we wanted out of a transaction. It's more like, hey, what's the value in this? Did I win the value? Who won the value? Trading mm-hmm. and buying and selling these days is such a gross animal to me. Just uh-huh. like, you know, kids of all ages trying to figure out which app or which website they're going to compare prices over, and people haggle down to the penny on what's equal, and, well, you've got to throw me something else. We're 63 cents off on this transaction.
Wow.
Like, just forever. It fucking blows my mind. Like, if I was still buying and selling cards like how I used to, I don't... I would
you
be
would
fearful
give it
that
up
I would,
again?
I would be fearful that I would be become one of these weird animals, or moreover, I would have just been pushed out of the system in another way. It's insane to me that, I mean, it makes sense because the value is there. We're driven to respond this way mm-hmm. because there's inherent value on the cards, and I it's tough because there's instant information for everyone now. Like, if Star City Games had run an event 5 years ago and a Soul Tide control deck won it the first, you know, like, we didn't even used to play Constructed when the set came out the first day. But regardless, you know, that information wouldn't spread as fast. Things would happen organically. Card values would change slowly over time. It wouldn't be instantaneous. People wouldn't feel like they won or lost value and they need to make up for it. And that makes people vicious and aggressive over having that. And
yeah.
plenty of people of all ages and all walks of life think that they can make a living off of a gaming in one a variety or another, and I think that buying and selling Magic cards is kind of the lowest denomination of that. So if you're going to do it successfully, you kind of lose some of your humanity, in my opinion.
No, that's actually very fair.
Shout
like,
out
you have to.
You motherfuckers aren't human.
No, and that's the thing that, like, you know, like what I was trying to, like, get across with Brainstorm Brewery was the fact that, like, they have that humanity. Like, they, you know, they are normal fucking people that are, you know, doing well at this financial side of things. They're not the fucking assholes that are, you know, canceling orders to fucking fix their profit margins, or they're not the assholes that are trying to scum a little kid at the fucking table. You know, like, it, you know, they're good people, and there are good people that, like, you know, do the finance thing. But at the same time, like, yeah, you're right. Like, when it comes down to instant information and you're making money off of this, like, inherently, we're fucking human. And at some point, you're going to realize that the nicer you are, the smaller your profit margin is. The more giving you are, the more... The smaller profit margin.
I don't know. I don't know. I disagree with that. I think you earn long-term value that way, right?
Here's the thing. Like, with the whole instant information shit, like, that takes away a certain aspect of the financial market. You can't, like, you know, there used to be people that they made money because they got the information before anybody else, and so they could make moves before anybody else, so on and so forth. Like, now it's more of, like, a speculation. Like, if you're good at evaluating cards and understanding, like, what in time is going to be valuable, you don't have to have that inside information. You can move on cards because they're cheap at the moment, and then wait, mm-hmm. and when they raise in price, then you sell. And you're not scumming anybody. You're making a smart financial move. And to me, that's what mostly, like, Brainstorm Brewery is about, which is why, yeah. like, nobody really gets, you know, they might make bad speculations, and you might lose off of that, but that's only their speculations. You're choosing to use that information. You can't really get mad
right,
at
for
them
relying on
because
one
they're
side.
Not guaranteeing. Well, yes. They're offering
you're not,
their
you're,
own
you're not doing
information.
Your own research. Yeah, like, you're
exactly.
not doing your own
and
research.
So, like, yes, in our age today, you do have – it did take away certain parts of that. You don't have the people that, whatever, had the inside knowledge. They had, you know, hookups. They got information faster than anybody else. Like, oh, my God, this just won the tournament. I'm going to trade and buy up everything I can. And then in a few weeks when all this information comes out, these cards are going to go up, and then I'm going to resell them. So you lose a lot of that, which in my opinion is good. If you're smart and you're staying up on the trends, you're not going to get, you know, the wool pulled over you. But the financial market to me now is how well can you evaluate cards? How well can you understand, like, what poses long-term casual, you know, value? What holds, you know, this is going to be value for as long as it's in standard, but its power level is not that to where it's going to be valuable once it rotates out. What has, like, the potential to explode if the right cards come out? Like, they just have, you know, that interesting text that, like, well, if certain card, you know, like Deceiver, Exarch, and Pestermite, and fucking Splinter Twin. Splinter Twin used to be like a 99-cent card. Like, I had a shit ton of them, and I moved them when they jumped after that interaction exploded. So, like, I just got lucky in that regard. Like, I had a bunch of Rise of Eldrazi, and I drafted a bunch, and I redeemed a bunch because it was just a fun format. But anyway, like, to me, like, the financial, like, market, it depends on what you're trying to do. If you're one of those assholes that's just trying to scum people or whatever else, then, yeah, you're a douchebag. But if you're out there just making investments, like, you know, I like to move a lot of the stuff that I think is going to drop a lot in value once rotates out of standard, like a set before that block rotates out, because it still holds value. You know, people still need it for standard tournaments, and I get long-term value. So, you know, to me, it really just depends.
I think it comes down to the mentality of the fucking person. Like, if you're preying on people, like, that are in your community, like, yeah, that makes you a fucking shitbag. And if you're moving cards, like, you know, legitimately moving cards back and forth because I think this is going to retain value or I don't think this is going to retain value, like, that's fine. But, like, when you're preying on fucking people and preying on fucking prices and the way people fucking, you know, oh man, I need this fucking card, like, I guess it comes down to that. When you're preying on people, you're a bag of shit. When you're not, like, when you're actually being fucking legitimate about it, then you're not a bag of shit.
Now, I don't want to poke the hornet's nest here, but I feel like it's important to point out that over the lifetime of the Brainstorm Brewery podcast, those guys have kind of moved away from buying and selling cards a lot more. I don't think that they are as entrenched with trying to do it full time as they were when they started the show. And I don't want to speak outright for anybody, but you know, checking in with Marcel and just listening to the cast over time, I think you can really tell that they don't do it in the capacity that they were when they first started. You know, Corbin's trying to do coverage, and Marcel isn't as involved in MTGO as he once was, and he's okay with that. You know, like, one of those guys, I think, owns a tiny store in Oakland, whatever, but I mean, that's not really like doing big business. And I think that trend will be something you'll see a lot with a lot of these people, where they would rather distance themselves from doing it.
It's a hard grind, right? That's, I think it just wears too.
One, it's hard to do, like, two, they, you know, you get that stigma of, like, looking like shit, like, you know, being like one of those fucking,
you're a John,
like,
Medina
binder grinder. You know, well, I can't even fucking talk shit about John Medina. Like, I mean, he was at one point, but, you know, obviously he's not anymore. But, like, you know, you look at it, like, the guys from Brainstorm have a fucking wealth of financial knowledge. They, you know, they at one point, like you were saying, you know, were more invested in making money off of cards, and they still do, you know, like, they collectively do. Or try to, based on their speculations. But, like, you know, now, like, them as a podcast, like, they bring that information to everybody else. You know, they're like, you know, like, Marcel is not grinding out fucking value on fucking Moto. Marcel's fucking getting into fucking building up his cube. And he's fucking, you know, he's working for a fucking living, he's building up his fucking cube, and he does shit on Moto. But, like, he, at the same time, like, he has that knowledge. And he has that fucking, like, he's been there, like, he knows the finance community, and he brings that to everybody else. I guess what I was trying to point out was, like, you know, you've got people like that, you know, have a knowledge for why the cards are moving back and forth. Not just like, all, oh, shit, I wanted to buy fucking Tasiger because it cost $3. Now it's $12. I wanted to buy it because it was a good fucking card. Now it's fucking $12. I can't afford a fucking playset of it. Fuck. And, like, they're the people that are, like, telling you why that's happening. You know, there are people that are like, you know, this is why it's happening. You should have listened to last week's episode where we said, bye, Tasiger. You know, hey, this is all just examples, by the way. I don't know.
Toby Job at Specs.
I don't know how they felt about Tasiger or anything, but like, it's like they're giving their information to people that listen to them. And I gotta commend them for that. Like, you know, in this, like, because Magic Finance has become such a thing, and it not necessarily like a lucrative fucking process. Like, there's people that are probably making money out of it, but at this point, the way the game has exploded and the way like card prices fluctuate off of something stupid, like literally a bad card can be good for a weekend, but if it's the right weekend, it can fucking jump like 4, 5, 10 times its price. And everybody that sees that happening, because of that perfect information we were talking about, everybody that sees that happening goes, oh shit, I need to buy in before it gets even higher. And then that just snowballs and feeds into it. And like, there's no predicting this shit anymore. I mean, you can, like David was saying, like, you can predict long-term shit, but like, the prices spike up and down like nobody's business anymore between the Moto market, which works a lot faster than the fucking paper market, and just the paper market working like it does, because like, you have to have those cards to play at the fucking next tournament. Like, there's a lot more players now, and you have to have those cards. Like, if you want to play fucking, you know, the Abzan deck that's fucking hot now, like, oh shit, Treasure Cruise got banned, that shit's fucking garbage now, we don't need that, we need the Abzan deck, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that. And people are willing to just spend the money to do it. Like, you know, there are going to be people that are going to take advantage of that. And they're also not going to give a shit. Like, I don't know how many times I've gone, I was like, oh man, what does that card cost? And I look it up thinking it's a fucking $5 card and fucking find out that it's a $7 card and go, oh, huh, great, okay, cool. So I buy it for $7 for the play, you know, $7 a piece for the fucking playset. And I didn't look into why the card shot up, or if I could go through, like, you know, hours of fucking searching on the internet to find it fucking cheaper because some guy didn't fucking buy into the hype or whatever. Like, I buy cards like an asshole.
So and what I'm you're saying is don't listen to your own card buying advice.
No, what I'm saying is I buy cards like an asshole, and I'm the reason, like, some of these motherfuckers are still in business. And like,
here's something that you should all consider as we play this great game of Magic, and that is this: there isn't many games.
No.
In fact, I don't even think there is another game on this planet that you can play, and you can gain value just by having fun. So, Hearthstone. What? There's no value. I spend money and I don't get anything. You can play. Fun. You can.
No, well, I have,
if you're spending money, you're doing it.
Yeah,
wrong.
You can play Magic for a year, and if you're, you know, luck out, you can leave the game with more money than you entered with it. And there isn't many games that will even give you half your value back. You know,
Yeah, that's what I tell people all the time. Like, you know, I have a pretty extensive collection, and you know, people are like, holy crap, you must have been like spent a lot of money. And yes, I have spent a lot of money on Magic. It is my favorite pastime, but people don't understand that a lot of my collection is through trading up, from winning packs. Like, I used to, you know, redeem 3-4 sets on MTGO because I drafted and I won a lot of packs, and I used those packs to keep drafting. And, you know, I would sell any of the extras. You know, if I won 3 or 4 of a mythic that, like, I didn't want that many to redeem that many of a set, I would sell those for tickets and keep those and the packs to keep drafting for free. And so I would, you know, spend back then like $5, redeem the set, and get that whole set sent to me. And so that was my way of playing MTGO and drafting and playing sealed and doing all that, and then still being able to have my paper collection not be hurt and actually be, you know, helped out from MTGO. And, you know, I win FNM a lot. I win pre-releases and releases a lot. I've done really well at States and other, you know, SCG Opens and PTQs and things like that. I've won a lot of product. And, you know, I have also, like I said, like long-term held onto cards that I thought were going to be good. Not so much in the beginning before I really understood everything, but through playing a lot, I started understanding the values of cards and what type of cards held value, what type of cards dropped off drastically once rotated out of standard. And honestly, I feel like I have made money over the course of my Magic career than I have lost or spent. If I chose to basically leave Magic right now and sold everything, I would be net gain. Wow.
See, the inherent problem with this is like, you're really good Magic player.
These results are not typical.
and everything you said is exactly. These results are not typical. Like, everything you've just said is absolutely 100% spot on. But the problem is like, there's the rest of us that aren't as good at Magic as you. So then we're left with buying cards
at overpriced when we're drunk on the internet.
Yes, but you don't have to be good at Magic to hold on to the cards that you feel like in.
No, I get that. I get that, but just like from what you're saying, you're like, hey, you know, I spent some, what's that?
$20, $40 is Snapcaster's lowest. Yeah, it's like 40. I have like three play sets of Snapcasters. I actively traded for them because I knew that card was going to be just bonkers. Like, it was going to be very expensive in the long run. So I traded for those actively for, you know, all of the cards and Liliana's. I knew that card. It's a 3-mana fucking Planeswalker, which all of the modes are relevant. I traded for those. I have, you know, I don't know how many play sets of Liliana's. Like, Geist of St. Traft. I think I only have like 6 in a foil now, but, you know, those types of cards, I knew those were going to be eternal playable, and so they were going to retain value at the lowest and actually gain value once they were out of print. And, you know, I moved cards like, oh God, I'm trying to remember, you know, like Huntmaster of the Fells.
It really comes down to is, like, if you've got a brain for the game like fucking David, trust your fucking instincts. If you don't, listen to this podcast and listen to what David has to tell you about. Yeah. I know it seems silly, but it's like, listen to what David has to say. That's what I do. I mean, I don't always take his advice. I always do dumb shit. But I've learned a lot from David. You know, take advice from somebody who knows better if you don't know that shit. But you got a point. Like, fucking, you know, hold on to the cards and retain value.
I mean, basically what I'm saying is I agree with Maddie in the fact that this game has the potential to, like, it's an investment. Like, even if you're not doing everything right, nobody's going to do everything right. I have lost a lot of money on a few different cards. Like, some of them I fluctuated. Like, I bought into Thrun, and I thought he was going to be a big deal, and then for a while he was like, he went down to, like, $5 or something like that when he was like 18 to 20, and I don't even know what 14. He's back up to now. I think it's like 12, 15, yeah, somewhere in that range. You know, I bought into him. I lost some money on him, you know, but overall, if you are making smart decisions and you are, you know, not even like spending a lot of time on the financial aspect of it, like just understanding your collection, like you have a couple standard decks, like, when a set's about to rotate out, really evaluate your cards. Look at them, like, what's valuable right now, but you know deep down its power level is not that high. So once it rotates out of standard, like, most of those cards drastically lower in price. Some of the cards, like, if they're really fun, if they're really Timmy, they're going to hold some value because they're going to be EDH playable. But the majority of them are not fun enough or big enough effect to see EDH play, and they're definitely not strong enough to see Modern or Legacy play. So chances are they're
even
going to drop.
Even if you don't, name us, like, I can't go buy a soccer ball for $20, play with it for a year, and then get anything for that soccer ball. It's worth nothing.
Yeah, let alone maybe potentially get more.
And I played with it. I kicked that fucking soccer ball all over the town. And now someone is like, hey, just because you put that soccer ball in a Ziploc bag, it's still mint condition. Like, no. Like, so Magic is one of those, people don't look at it as you're going to be, your investment in Magic is not completely thrown out the window. So, you know.
I think there's a line to be drawn between collectibles and, like, collectibles and toys are two very different things.
I mean, these are still like a game. Like, you're still playing a game and having a good time.
Collectible toys. Like, that's the thing is, like, I think the Magic community really fucking draws a line there because there is that huge collectible value to these cards, like some of these cards. There's a huge collectible value to them, and especially the condition they're in has a drastic fucking, you know, weight on what they're worth. But at the same time, like, you know, when you get it, yeah, when you're talking fucking like power and shit like that, you know, there are very, very minute differences that can drastically change the price and shit. And you know that, TSG. But when you're talking about shit like, you know, the Zendikar fetch lands, like, yeah, they're fucking expensive. The fucking price of them change, or Bobs or Goyfs or whatever. The price is going to fucking change by a decent percentage depending on the fucking, you know, how well those cards are played or how well those cards are kept, like whether they were kept in a binder since it came out of a pack or because I've been playing Modern for fucking 2 years with these Goyfs and now I want to fucking sell them off. But the fact is like, the, you know, again, like Maddie was saying, like with a soccer ball, the enjoyment that you get out of them, like I've got no problem spending the money to play with these cards for 2 fucking years and then be like, oh man, I lost, you know, $10 a card on those. You know, yeah, they were $70 a piece and I lost $10 a card on them. That sucks. But oh well. Yeah, I lost $40.
Players, those were $10 cards when Zendikar was in play.
Well, no, and I get that. Like, some of the people that, like, fucking pulled them out before they got fucking valuable, but even if you go fucking, like, even if you go deep and you're like, I want to play this fucking shit, I'm going to buy the fucking Scalding Tarns when they're fucking at, you know, $90, and now they're, you know, what, $50. It's like, oh, man, you lost a little bit of money, but you played with those for fucking 2 years, or a year and a half, whatever it is. And, like, you get value out of them that people, you know, you can't really put a fucking monetary fucking, you know, price on. Like, you get to play with those cards in Modern.
I completely agree with you. I'm just saying, like, there's also the aspect of sometimes you gain value because you sat there and played with them for so long. But you got so much enjoyment out of them, and then you turn around, and it's worth a shit ton of more money than you paid for it.
But the finance community looks at it like, well, shit, if you paid fucking, you know, if you paid $50 for these 6 months ago and now they're $30, you lost money. You invested that money, you sat on them, and you lost that money, and they look at it like that. But the problem that, like, most of the finance community doesn't look at is the playability of those cards. Like, yeah, they also won me this many tournaments. Like, those four fucking, you know, those four fetch lands that, like, were a bit overpriced or whatever. Like, these won me these tournaments, and they got me this much store credit, or they got me this much fucking, you know, cash prize at the fucking tournament because I didn't fucking have them. I bought them. I may have overpaid for them because I bought it at the wrong time, but, you know, I got some fun out of them. I got to play with them. I got to play test with them. And then I got to fucking play my tournaments and fucking and win and do well or whatever. Like, and it all comes down to, it's still just a game that we play for fun. It just sucks.
Well, I agree. I think the point, though, is that, like, you are still, like, even if, like you said, you bought in at the wrong time at, you know, close to their peak, you can still turn around and sell them, and, you know, you had however long you played with them, and then you still, yeah, okay, you lost some money on what you paid for it. It's kind of like buying a car. You know, the moment you drive that car off the fucking lot, you've lost value. Like, yeah, it'll never get what you paid for it. But, you know, like, my truck, like, I have had the truck, well, shit, close to 10 years now, and I paid probably more than I should have for it, but it has had problems.
But you paid a lot less for your truck than you did in cab rides back and forth to work.
Yeah, well, and, like, you know, I got use out of my truck. I've moved. I've helped people move. Yeah. Like, I've taken stuff to the dump. I've taken my kids. I've towed my boat. I've done all sorts of stuff. I've driven around for, like, 10 years, and I've taken care of it. You know, it's just like sleeving your cards. You take care of it, it'll, you know, stay in good condition. Now I can sell it for, like, $5,000, which I think is, like, one-third of what I paid for it, or one-fourth. And I feel like I have made money on that fucking truck.
Because, yeah, you got 10 years out of use, 10 years of use out of it.
Yeah. So, like, it just comes down to the fact, like, yes, the the value of the card is not strictly monetary, but I think Maddie's point is, you know, what other like hobby slash game, you know, can you invest your money in, have a great time with, and then potentially like get your money's worth, like get your money back out of it afterwards, or like close to
or get some money, or even exactly. do better with. Yeah. No, yeah. Very valid point. Like that's I think we were going in the same direction.
Yeah, I think we all agree. It's just different viewpoints on it, you know.
I do want to know.
I think that there's varying levels. There's, you know, your level, which, you know, half the time you just like, whatever, I don't give a fuck. I want the cards now. I'm going to pay for them. And if I end up losing some money, I don't give a fuck. And which is fine. That's, you know, to each their own. You know, then there's, you know, I don't know how far Maddie is on in between you and I, you know. But then there's me. Like, the more I've played, the more I understand, like, yes, you know, sometimes I'll trade for cards that I think are not going to gain anything, but I just have the intent, like, I'll move these before they start losing value. Sometimes they lose value right. faster than I think, but most of the time I can move the cards, you know, with around the same, and I was able to play it in standard if I wanted to. And then there's cards right. where I actively trade for them because I know, given time, these cards are going to be worth more than they are right now. And so I feel like I have made money with Magic. Like, you know, even that's just good. More yeah. on the casual side. I'm about to step into more on the business side, and, like, I think I'm going to be able to do that very successfully given what I've learned already. So
well, yeah.
I don't know. I think Magic is a unique beast, and I'm very appreciative of it.
All right, so let's end the night.
Real yes. quick, before we end the night, I just want to know how Tristan's doing on Hearthstone.
we finished an arena with 12 wins today, which is not an easy feat at all. We've given back there, like
right now because you haven't been very talkative, so I assumed you were playing Hearthstone.
Well, I mean, you guys were talking yourselves in circles. I feel like there for a while, but yeah,
that's what we do.
In the interim, I did finish that arena run and have been trying to find a new deck to play. It's been hit or miss this last season. I feel like I got to rank 5, which is kind of like the last rank before you go into super grind. I think I'm cool, but there's really no light at the end of this shitty tunnel mode. They reset every fucking month. So I got there early in the month this month, and I was like, okay, maybe this will be the month that I will forego activities and try to accomplish this tiny little feat in this game, and then I took like a week off and I wasn't really doing it, and now I've just been giving a bunch of ranks back, playing a bunch of dopey decks. And it's funny because, like, as I'm sitting here playing, Slick is in the background just feverishly cracking packs open, and the way you can tell,
not doing nearly as well as David did earlier while he was doing that.
Well, it's hard to say because when your buddies on Hearthstone are opening packs, it tells you, like, every time they hit a mythic rare.
Oh, cracking packs is... I literally thought he, like, Slick was just in the background, like, cracking Magic packs. I forgot that you can just crack packs on fucking Hearthstone.
You can. So it tells you... Well, it tells all your buddies every time you open a mythic. And so in the course of the last, like, 30 minutes... Slick has opened like 3 mythics, so he's obviously at the end of the Money Draft Lifestyle podcast this evening, living it up to great effect. Sort of cool, which is much more exciting than the games of Hearthstone I'm currently playing.
Oh man, I should actually fucking try playing that game again.
See, I've been playing the game and it's fun, but it is not anywhere near as fun or complicated or interesting as Magic. That's what I'll say right now.
Who is telling you that it is? That's my question.
No, I didn't say anybody did. I was just checking the game out for myself. And, you know, especially in the beginning, because I'm not going to invest money in this fucking game. And, like, when I started playing, I was winning a lot. And then I started getting ranked against higher players, like players that have won a lot. And I was just getting destroyed by these cards that I'd never seen and couldn't hope to compete with. I'm like, what the fuck? And I just realized these people have opened so many more packs. And, you know, some of them I'm sure probably have been playing for a long time and they didn't spend a lot of money. But I know for a fact that some of these people were fucking just investing tons of money in it. And I'm just like, well, you know, I guess the same goes for Magic. You know, if some of these people just you know, if you're not going to jump into a modern queue and not have a solid deck, or else you're just going to get destroyed. But in Hearthstone, there is no like queues, like casual queues. There's like casual play, but it tries to match you up with people that have won as much as you. So if you do really well with the cards you have, eventually you're going to get matched up against people that just have much, much better decks than
you. They've just bought into it. Or have been around for a long time.
And just, you know, they've opened packs from grinding a lot, you know. So I've been playing ranked because I found I was actually getting matched up with people that didn't have all these crazy cards because I started at, like, the base rank. But I've already, in the span of just tonight, I've gotten to, like, 19 or 18 or something like that. Just in a few days, or not a few days, like a couple hours before the cast, while I was cracking packs, because I just kept winning. And, like, if you win, you keep getting additional stars for having a win streak. And I am at like fucking 18 or something like that.
So fucking weird to me. I've played this game before, but I feel like the only thing I can place in my head is like the game board, like when the screen comes up.
I'm still new because I don't even know what the fuck he's talking about with arenas. So
it's like draft. It's like their equivalent of limited.
Do you have to pay or something?
What do you do with your gold right now?
Well, I bought some packs from grinding and unlocking achievements and shit like that.
So, yeah, like, every, like, third day, you should have enough gold to enter an arena, so you don't have to pay for it with cash. This is 150 gold to play an arena.
Oh, I fucking get that shit easy.
Baller status, as it were. Yes, so...
I have a feeling David, once he's going to wreck Hearthstone too.
Old for that. Like, I'm sure once you're established, like, you don't get it as fast as you do in the beginning. I think that's probably what it is.
I mean, a little bit. It's not that big of a deal. This is a Magic the Gathering.
I don't know
podcast,
what
so
the
really
fuck
glad.
We're talking about, guys. When did.
I'm actually curious because some of these motherfuckers, like, some of our fucking fan base likes Hearthstone. And oh, I played it for a little bit, so I'm actually kind of curious what these motherfuckers...
Maddie and I
need to actually get on whole Hearthstone for Magic Players podcast we've been talking about. We've gotten real close, I feel like. We've gotten to the almost toward something stage.
So but I need to know now. Like, no, fuck this. Like, I don't give a shit if you guys have a podcast, right? I need to know now. So, like, how close is David getting to being in the arena?
What the fuck?
Man, once you start playing, it's going to sound really funny what you're saying out loud right now.
David is really close, so Gabby. He's really fucking close. He's going to get on the Arena Pro Tour, man.
Yes! I actually played, I played this game. I got a beta key for it, and I played it, and I'm like, oh, Hearthstone's pretty kind of cool. It's fun. I had some fun with it. I got into it for a few, and I literally cannot remember shit about the game because I only have so much mental space.
it's really just... weird. Like, they really dumbed it. Like, to me, they just took Magic and they dumbed it down. You know, like, the mechanics are very, like, much more simple.
I know that part of it.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
Like, I mean, you getting into the arena.
Well, I don't even know what the fucking arena is.
Talk about Magic. Replace the word arena with the word draft.
Gotcha.
This is riveting. Riveting.
Hold on. Kevin has a thought.
You get to play with your own packs of cards against eight other people?
Very similar to that. Very, very similar to that. You build a deck on the fly. You don't necessarily open full-blown packs. You will select 30 cards. They will all make your main deck. You don't have a sideboard. But during the selection process, you will be shown a random selection of 3 cards, and you will constantly pick one of 3. And they will refresh 3 new cards every time through the process. Oh. So during that process, you will be given a myriad of options as to what you can select from. You'll have a certain number of rares, a couple of mythics, and you may have a shot at getting a legendary during your draft. Every once in a great whale, someone has like 2 or 3 legendaries, but it's very rare.
Yeah, I'm lost.
All right, well, back to Magic. Like, we can talk about this.
Let's not
later.
Talk about this. So let's.
I was trying to bring some fucking light to our fucking Hearthstone loving motherfucking friends.
Well, we brought some. Yeah, like they,
you got
they,
your light,
there.
Bitch. They know how to get their gold. They know where the arena's at. So, you know.
All right. If we're done with Twitter, like, Cole, like, I had a few, but, you know, we went deep on some, and then we got.
No, if you got more Twitter hole, let's do it. Because we're on fucking, like, I know that, like, the time, well, not for you, Maddie, but I know the time says 9:13, but I also realized that we spent, like, a half an hour getting into this fucking cast, so,
a
like,
golden started, half hour.
We started, like, 6:30. Yeah, it was golden half hour. Yeah, God, I hope Maddie edits some of that into the end.
All right, but, so Jordan R., Dad Hipster Gamer, he says, Mr. Chi challenges each of us to a thumb war. How do we cheat to win? And when do you say you do?
Kick him in the face.
Yeah, I was gonna say, mine's real easy. Kick I turned in it face. Into just an actual grappling match, and his thumbs are not gonna fucking hold up. Sorry.
Well, you have to give your opponent the illusion that you're doing what you're doing. You're like, oh, one, two, three, four, I declare a thumb war. But like, right about the time you say four, your heel connects with their jaw, and.
How the fuck do you do? Oh wow, I don't want to thumb wrestle you, man. That's
one, two, three, bah! And then you just this thumb war is over.
See what I would be like, okay, well before we have this thumb war, I need a
You're gonna take a while, aren't you?
I need a drink, and then I would like give him a glass of milk and
get him a nice glass of wine.
Not a glass of wine. But, hey, let's get you liquored up here, Mr. T. No, I can't.
Oh, you're trying to. Oh, no, I see where you're going with this, Maddie. You're going to put him to sleep. You're going to hold him up in the chair, and you're going to fucking put him to
then
sleep.
Then I'm going
to
get his thumb. I'm going to stick it up his
your
ass.
Your thumb's going to get a cramp. Kick him in the fucking jaw, and then fucking jackhammer his fucking thumb into the pavement with both heels. Just fucking. Be like, yeah, I declare a thumb war, and now you can sign the pavement because you got your fucking thumbprint.
Just take out a ball, hammer.
The whole process is going to be over long before your guy falls asleep.
Just take out a ball, beat hammer, and hit him right in the face when he's not looking. Just, I win, bitch.
I mean, shit, if we can have weapons in thumb war, like, I'm down.
All right.
I was just talking about using my own self.
All right, TSG, do you have any input on this, or do you not give a shit?
It's not that I don't give a shit. I don't like the idea that are we like willingly entering a thumb battle to cheat? Are we? Is it somehow like
cheat.
The gun is
no,
your
you have
head,
to
you
cheat.
Have...
It's Mr. T.
I got it. TSG talks to him about his cube additions and surprise.
And he commits suicide.
it's Maddie's fucking thing. He just holds his thumb back and he's just like, well.
I just find it a weird situation where it's like, all right, I'm going to go thumb war Mr. T. Why? Well, I can't win, but I'm going to cheat, and then we're going to win, and then there'll be a
Okay, so we're thumb war Mr. T.
What?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. It was
he missed that it was Mr. T. Yeah, but, okay, on to the next thing. At Alex the Grateful says, you could message yourself through time, but it could only be by tattooing the message on your dick and send as a dick pic. What would you write?
That is a good Twitter hole to end on. Very well done.
Oh, I got it. Fucking go to college.
Of course you got it. You're master of the dick pics. So.
go to college and then spell it wrong.
That's really good, dude. That's from Future Kevy. Future Kevy dick pic. Man, your dick looks all gray and shriveled. I can't even read. Go to collage.
Go to collage.
He's like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I cut all these magazine pictures out.
Art school.
Then again, like, young me would probably start reading into it and be like, oh.
What asshole sent me this picture?
Go to France. Go to France. I'm going to France. And then I'd be a Frenchman at this point.
You'd be an angry little Frenchman.
All right, TST, what about you?
Hey, go to collage.
Again, trying to next level these is kind of tough. Wouldn't it be prudent to, like, maybe put your wife's name on there? Would that be helpful?
I don't know. I mean, if you're happily married at this point, but you don't know what the
future
holds.
How do you know whose dick that is? Right? Like, if I saw, if I get, if
you're opening up a whole new can of worms, dude, man. I don't know what you guys are thinking of.
This is what you do. You put a date, and then you put winning lottery numbers.
Eddie, I know you're. It's a fucking lottery numbers. You would.
Patty, if you are, like, you're a fit motherfucker, so I'm not going to offend you. Like, unless you're a fat bastard that can't see your own dick, how do you not recognize your own cock in a fucking dick picture? I don't care what it says on it. I don't care, like, if the world is burning in flames behind the dude, you should be able to recognize your own cock.
This could be true.
So,
it depends on what angle it's shot from.
I'm glad I'm not the one who had to say that sentence. Because I think we were all thinking it, but I'm really glad Kevin said it.
If you get a picture of your own fucking dick with lottery numbers tattooed on it, like, I mean, one, you better have the foresight to put a date on it.
The foresight to put a date on it.
Ah, whoa. Hey-o.
But, like, if you get a own dick, like, how do you go, like, wait, whose dick is this? Because if you can't pick your own dick out of a lineup, you should have probably killed yourself back in past self.
I don't know. Maybe you're like TSG and, like, you got dicks on demand. You just seen too many. They all blur together.
I don't even know. Is there a right answer to this? I'm not sure. The lottery.
I told you, a date, a winning lottery number. Send yourself a dick pic.
I'm telling you, if I open up my email and I recognize it's my dick with a bunch of numbers and a date on it, whoa, is that the date of my death? Is that when my dick will fall off? I don't know. Do I have enough room? I mean, I probably have enough room in my dick to write, like, hey, you should play these fucking lottery numbers. But, like, if you don't have that much room, then I don't know. This is just an obscure amount of numbers.
This is important. This is very important. It depends on. I mean, obviously, you're gonna know this when you're tattooing your dick. Like, even better than go to college or winning lottery numbers in a date. Like, depending on the, you know, on the date. Like, I'm sure there's gonna be plenty more of these. But, like, you know, if I could, like, you know, tattoo my dick now and send it back to myself in, you know, like, 95 or something like that. It would just say invest in Apple.
It's true.
Like,
buy Apple.
Invest.
That's from a movie. What movie is that?
Blank.
No. It's from it's got the guy who played Jesus in the.
What?
The,
is this the one that Mel Gibson wrote that he hated?
No, it is an awesome movie. It is an awesome movie. It's about this kid.
Passions of the Apple.
Passions of the Christ, invest in Apple tattooed on his dick.
God damn it. The guy's dad is a firefighter and he dies in a fire and then, like, some weird storm.
Let me talk.
Jesus Christ.
I know exactly.
Storm, and then through the radio, they get to talk to each other through time, and he finds out it's his own dad.
Movie you're talking about, and I'm also in the same boat that I can't remember the name of that fucking movie.
I mean, I could go to my fucking thing.
The Perfect Storm.
No, God damn it, you're just naming bullshit records.
Wait,
now.
That
you are the troll tonight.
I am the troll. I'll
be right back. Hold on, I'm gonna be right back. I'll get this fucking movie.
TSG, do you know what fucking movie we're talking about?
Radioland Murders.
I've heard of that movie.
No, it's not Radioland Murders. What? Look, just Google the shit here. Let's fucking. What happens when we Google shit? This is.
What fucking movie you're talking about? Duke talked to his dad from the past, and they're firefighters. But yes, I.
Oh yeah, I know. I know what you're talking. It's it's some frequency.
Oh. Oh, there you go. There you go. It's right. Frequency 2000. Look at that. We already found that out, man.
Fuck you.
He did.
As I was.
Whatever.
All you had to do was stop talking long enough to ask me, and you got the answer.
That, you know what? I feel like that's probably the answer to most of our questions in life.
That happens in that movie. He tells his friend as a kid to invest in Apple, and then at the end of the movie, fucker's rich as all shit.
See, I'm telling you, and the only reason I say Apple right now is because, God damn it, I want a fucking, not an iPad, a goddamn iBook, and fucking
and an apple pie.
I hate my computer so much. And so I'm like all on like Apple's fucking nuts right now, even though they're bad.
Well, if you're not going to play MTGO anymore, might I welcome you to the Apple community?
Oh, God, dude. But the problem is like, you can go buy a fucking random HP fucking laptop for $400.
Don't do any of that. Like, for what you could do, yeah. I could build you a badass dude, PC for...
I don't need a fucking PC. I have to, like, for my music, I have to be able to take this with me. Like, from my room to practice to on stage, and I need it to be fucking reliable. I need Apple.
Look, all I'm saying...
This is one of those quotes where he does not take my smart advice.
Look, I'm just going to say this. If my dead dad, who was a firefighter, was talking to me through a radio, and he started to tell me about his dick, I don't know if I would believe that. I'd be like, why are you like trying to text me pictures of your dick, Dad? I don't understand.
I think the irony here is that this is a beautiful time for a classic Maddie attempted segue. We'd be like, Kevin, if you from the future, we're going to tell you from the past.
That's what I was doing with it.
Oh, that would have been so good. What would your...
Wait. Now, before you do that, before you segue into go fuck yourself...
Whoa. Whoa, wait, what?
You just fucking blew that load.
What are you...
I don't want to, because like, I want to talk about the charity.
Oh, yes.
Like, I that's one of the things that I absolutely, like, I mean, if we miss some of these Twitter hole things, like, that's not a big deal, but I really do want to talk about...
Death Magus has news. What is it?
Yeah. He's been in talks with the hospital and or the charity, and he sent me some documentation and whatnot, which I will dig into and have more details later, but basically we're figuring out exactly what you can and can't, you know, like donate and give to the kids, you know, like we're hoping that we can do magic, but I guess there's like a stipulation that it can't be anything that promotes violence. So we're hoping that they're not going to view that as promoting violence.
Right.
But, you know, we'll have more definitive answers after he, hears back from them. And, like we're going to have, you know, we've got all of this stuff ready to go, but we are going to have 50-50 tournaments to raise money, and we're going to have trophies made up. I think he's got a specific person that's actually making these trophies for the tournaments, and then I think that we have to fill out whoever wants to actually go and don't, you know, like hand out the donations to the kids. We have to like fill out something to go and do that. So
yeah,
they
like
know
a background there, check, like, so that, like,
yeah,
he,
that kind of thing.
I guess so, don't actually show up at the hospital.
Yeah. So he sent me the forms for that. Okay. It's Jackie is having trophies made for the 50-50 tournaments. And then I think the other thing is there's been a big outcry to have a booze cube tournament to raise money for the charity. So I think that, we're going to work on making that possible. And then, he also wants to do, as we talked earlier, the A team versus the heavy meta, and see whether we can raise some money by doing bets or some sort of, you know, monetary incentive for that charity as well.
There you go.
Be fucking sweet. Yeah. None of that. No, like, that all can end in violence.
Oh, I'm so, sure it will. But at least the kids are going to get money.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Like, we have to just pass it by their lawyers. It's like, it's not promoting violence, but it can all end in violence.
Oh, yeah. The kids just can't be privy to that. That's all. Like, yeah. They can't know that, you know, certain people lost a lot of teeth to make sure that they got that money.
No, because we show up at the fucking children's hospital dressed as clowns. We're like, oh, this is David with no teeth, and this is Kevin with two black eyes, but they're all painted up and look all fucking sweet. And we're like, oh, look, we're clowns.
Story starts off well when it says, hey, me and David showed up at the children's hospital as clowns. When my eyes were all beat up and I painted them, like, no story. No story should start that way. There's gotta be a better story.
I'm not gonna tell him again.
I like the crack. Where's the crack? Me here at last on the ground, you in midair. Send
All right, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Raging Gumby.
And I'm Tristan Gregson, and I'm proud to say we all played in the Favorite Forge pre-release last weekend. And tonight on Heavy Meta, we'll cover that.
You know what? You know what I have to say, everybody? I hope you all had as much fun as I did. After our pre-release, me, Scotty, Jackie, and Tony decided to go out on the town, as to say, because this week...
All of you girls just decided to put on your heels and face the town around.
Well, it was funny because I was like, well, what do you want to do? It's like 9 o'clock, and everyone's like, well, I don't know. And Tony's like, I'll just fuck you right here. And I was like, ah, I know, but, you know, like, next week is my birthday, and I'm like, this is the only time I'm down. And I don't give a shit. I'm like, I am fucking... Scotty's just like, okay, fuck it. All right, let's do this. I walk right up, and I put my hat on. Listen, it was so tight in there. It was just like, I don't know, man. I'm just like, I'm hurting, man. I'm hurting. Oh, God, I wish, if I had known, I wouldn't have eaten all day.
I'd have creeped out right now. I'm not going to lie.
I was in a meat haze, man. That's how tight it is. It was funny. Poor Jackie passed out in the car back to the parking lot from a meat hangover. He was out, man.
I spent a lot of time with a lot of young guys because...
I think I might have got fucked. Just so you guys know, just so it's out there, I was told I got a little bit out of hand. Oh, wait, like, if I don't have whiskey, Dick, and I'm not trying to come in a fucking, like, superhuman, like, speed, then, you know, anal's fine.
Yeah.
And I think it's also the fact that I needed a dick on demand right now. One of these fucking GP Vegases, I'm going to get fucking Maddie, not only in the house, but I'm making Maddie share a room with me.
Oh, my God. I must know more.
I don't know how long I can deal with you being in my ass.
As long as you have drugs that knock you out, you're fine.
He's more of an uppers kind of guy, in my opinion.
Oh, God.
Wait, what? And Mildivane won the fucking lottery, because he's our other roommate.
I have a feeling that TSG and Mildy are going to be in the other bed, and they're going to hate life.
Yeah, it's probably going to be... I have a lot of friends.
If things go south, I'm sure I can bunk up with somebody.
So things will go south, buddy.
I am prepared.
Like, I'm trying to figure out how many fucking balls it takes to fill up a ball pit.
You mean balls in your mouth?
Earplugs are cheap, thankfully. That's all I need Patreon money for.
I'm not sure yet.
I didn't see any wall dividers in the pictures I saw of the rooms. So.
And it already sounds great.
Shout out to TSG for letting us fucking go to town on him.
That segment was hardcore. That's all I gotta say.